It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Gosh, is it More In Monday already? Why, yes, as a matter of fact, it is. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. Just head on over there, jump in, and be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. If you feel so inclined, if you do, pick out a screen name and a password if you don't already have one. Well, by Jove, you'll be greeted immediately by Anatole and Squeaky, the early arriving welcome wagon team in the Horn chat room, and capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave. Yep, here we are on the 23rd day of March 2020. More and Monday is upon us. And we're gonna have to beat the morans back with a stick. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Hot on both COVID-stricken streams, Dr. Kincaid. Well, hopefully they haven't been stricken. We got enough problems with the streams as it is without them getting the... Oh, my God. Maybe we can blow a hairdryer at them or something. Oh, God. Yeah, we got... We got more ends here. Lots and lots of more ends. Definitely more ends. And we also have thanks to send out. There are no ads on this program. There are no exhortations for you to purchase the vacuum cleaners to pick up bowling balls or any form of super vegetables or super supplements or chocolate chicken bone paleo beverage or buy gold or sell gold. None of that is here. Nope. This program exists because of your determination that it will continue to exist. And so with that in mind, we go back as far as Saturday and send out thanks to Joan in Talibandiana, to our buddy Rico in the Berg. Thank you to Michael. Thank you to Tirani. Thank you to Bill in Florida. Thank you to Felicia, formerly of Nebraska, presently of Southern California. Thank you to our dear friend Philip in Maryland. Thank you to our friends at Mellow Moonlit Meadow. And thank you to Stacy. Thank you one and all for being partial sponsors of the program and for being... subscribers. Thank you to our Patreon subscribers as well, our PayPal subscribers through the course of the month. Thank you to our a la carte contributors, all of whom work together to keep this going for these many years. And again, I know how stressful this time is, and I know there are a lot of people out there who are worried about what the coming days and weeks and months will bring, and that makes me doubly grateful for your willingness to keep this conversation going. With that in mind, I can happily announce a challenge. Not a matching challenge, but a trebling challenge. Not a doubling challenge, but a trebling challenge, courtesy of our dear friend Charlene, a founding member of the Sorority of Leans, up there in Rogues Island, putting forward an offer. If the community will pull together $100 this evening, 20 at 5, 5 at 20, 10 at 10, whatever the combination, if the community will pull together $100 this evening, then Charlene will match it and match it again, and thereby giving us a leg up on tomorrow, which would be fan-freaking-tastic. So thank you. Thank you again, Charlene. Thank you so very much. And hopefully people will respond, and we'll fight it. We'll fight another day. Because, well, as it stands, like I said, we're up to our, you know how the thing goes. We're up to our armpits and morons. And a lot of those, of course, are Republicans who occupy governor's seats in this country, but far too many of them are also members of the United States Senate, where things got, let us say, contentious today. The Republicans, you see, want to use this crisis, this plague, as a reason to loot the Treasury, because if you're a Republican, whatever the crisis is, it's always a great explanation for looting the Treasury. It's who they are. It's what they do. And having seen how that worked out in the aftermath of September 11th, 2001, and then again after George W. Bush and his Republican cronies crashed the economy in 2008, there's not much appetite for just giving a whopping horse-gagging load of money to corporate America to sock away into stock buybacks and various and sundry bullshit scams to keep them wealthy and impoverish us. So for the second attempt. Mitch McConnell, the single most horrible thing ever to come out of Sheffield, Alabama, Mitch McConnell has been rebuffed in his attempt to pass a massive giveaway, including a $500 billion slush fund to be administered solely at the discretion of Steve Mnuchin, with no accountability whatsoever, and virtually no strings attached for our corporate and wealthy betters. And the Democrats in the Senate are saying no. Not just no, but fuck no. Relief is imperative, but not at the price of paying off a ransom by those kind-hearted souls on Wall Street and those generous folks offshore in the cruise industry. Yeah, I'm just going to say something. Is it about? Are we in a place where we can just say that? In our modern world, with all our modern problems, we really don't need a cruise ship industry. Once upon a time, ocean-going vessels were means of transport and getting from point A to point B. Now they're just floating plague ships that bob around the Caribbean for part of the year, and then go across the Atlantic to bob around the Mediterranean for the other part of the year. And if you were watching Corona Caligula over the weekend. You know, he can't stop mumbling and burbling and galumphing about the cruise industry. You'd think that all the CEOs of the cruise lines were lined up with their noses pressed against frosty window panes, staring inside at us proles, munching down on our plates of snap-purchased Alaskan king crab legs. Oh, Jesus. And then there's what happened here in West Virginia today. It was supposed to make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice. It was supposed to have a press conference at 11 a.m., but, well, 11 a.m. came and went, and they finally put up a notice that says, yeah, we may be having us one of them at about 1. 1 o'clock came and went, and they still quite couldn't get it up and running. But finally he came on and announced that, well, I'm not really sure what he announced. I listened real close, but and I paid attention as best I can, and I applied all the dark arts of the art of word knowing to paying attention. And he buried the lead, but eventually he got around to saying that he was going to shut the state down. And I think he did. But then he also declared and said, now, what I want you to understand is that in no way, shape, form, or fashion am I gonna shut down the churches. Now, we got a lot of people doing a great job in our churches. And then announced that the shutdown would start at 8 p.m. tomorrow evening, Tuesday, the 24th day of March 2020. Okay. I can cope with that. We all stay home except for absolutely essential travel starting tomorrow at 8 p.m. I mean, we're allowed to go out to the grocery store for milk and bread and eggs and whatnot. And go and, well, I mean, it's technically spring here, but the overnight lows are still pretty cool, so we'll need to be going out periodically to fill up the kerosene jugs, and other folks will need to go out and get propane, things of that nature. But after announcing that we're going to be shut down as of tomorrow at 8 p.m., he then said, now, I want you all to understand that on Wednesday we're doing something real important here in West Virginia. Wednesday is going to be a state day of prayer for the state of West Virginia, and I think it's a fine thing. Now, I want you to understand that all the preachers and ministers and priests and whatnot are invited to come here with me as we pray for the great state of West Virginia. Man, I was shedding IQ points and brain cells like a pangolin shedding scales. So I think we're going into lockdown. And he did make clear, he said, now,
we will keep, people will keep going to work if your work is deemed to be essential. And I just want you to know that in no way, shape, form, or fashion are the coal industry not essential. Our great coal miners will be deemed to be essential, because they're every bit as important as our great doctors and our great nurses and our great grocery store workers. And in no way, shape, form, or fashion are they not. So, I just kept feeling dumber and dumber and dumber. And finally, Dr. Kathy Slimp, who's the state public health person, said, you know, our churches are doing a wonderful job, but, you know, maybe not going and being there in person. I mean, our churches are doing a great job of virtual services and remote broadcasting. And oh, fuck. So I guess we got us a little shutdown going. My friends over in the in all the wonderful little restaurants over in Fayetteville tried to make a go of delivery and stuff, but no. I know as of Sunday, my friends at Secret Sandwich Society had just shut down. And the same's happened at things like Southside Junction Tap House and Cathedral Cafe and the station. So it's going to get right strange. Robert in Australia says, and Australia is now closed. At midday, Monday, March 23rd, Australia closed down, finally and officially. Closed. Pubs, clubs, gyms, indoor sporting venues, cinemas, entertainment venues, casinos, nightclubs, and churches. Closed but operating. Restaurants and cafes will be restricted to takeaway and or home delivery. Schools are still open, but parents are advised to keep their kids home. If they can't, they can leave them at school. Supermarkets and shopping malls are open, but social distancing is now being enforced at checkouts. Stand 1.5 meters apart. Queensland just announced that it will close its borders at midnight on Wednesday. That's Queensland for you, banana vendors and all that. As businesses shut down, long queues formed, all standing 1.5 meters apart at Centrelink offices, our unemployment employment office, as suddenly unemployed people apply for unemployment benefits, and it's driving the Liberal Party insane. And Parliament is closed for 5 months. Most people won't even notice. Of course not. Yeah. Like I said, we're still waiting to find out who all is essential. One wonders about things like hotels, motels. This is going to be a real kick in the teeth to the tourism industry here, because we are at the front ramp-up end of the whitewater rafting, rock climbing season. And so one of the other things that Jim Justice has said was, now we have shut down all our cabins.
but our trails remain open, and so do our golf courses.
Bear in mind, of course, that make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice owns the golf course at the Greenbrier.
Mm-hmm. Now, oh, ouch.
It's almost as though we've got a cross between Mr. Haney and Ebb from Green Acres running the state of West Virginia. Yeah, regarding Governor Jim Kunta Kinte Justice, Brother Deacon Asa says,
"Now, never in a million years did I ever think I'd hear Bob Kincaid longing for the good old days of one Governor Earl Ray Tomlin. Hashtag we miss Gert."
Earl Ray was a paragon of competence compared to this billionaire fool. And some things never change. The people who did speak today were required to praise the geniusness of Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice. Damnedest thing, that. Morans asks Darlene in Connecticut, like all the Republicans in the Senate who all of a sudden care desperately about the people of the United States. Oh, wait, that's right. Per Mitt Romney, corporations are people too, my friend. Human beings. Okay, now it all makes sense because corporations are the only people Republicans care about, and Democrats are now the evildoers for holding up their legislation to, you know, help us out in this global pandemic crisis. Side eye. I know. David in South Carolina, Stan, said, "Slow boat to China" was the first thing that came to mind when he started talking about cruise lines. Oh, and I watched that thing yesterday and lost brain cells on that one, too. I may be drooling into my oatmeal by the time this is all said and done. Oh, by the way, thank you very kindly. Lee in New York says, subject line, "You are essential. Sorry, Bob, you have to keep broadcasting." Well, thank you, Lee. Thank you. I intend to remain here, lashed to the mast, as long as we can keep all of this going. Because I would go bananas otherwise. There's a little bit of selfishness involved with this. I have to be able to unburden myself of some of this madness and let you guys take it and press it down and shake it together and pass it back and forth and make it into a little paper football and kick it across your seventh grade seventh grade lunchroom table until it comes back and I can bear to have the crazy in my head. I trust, I hope that the sound card's going to be cooperative, because I got a whole, and this is a technical term, shit ton of sound to run this evening for this More End Monday. By the way, over there on the great big global map, as Gary in New Mexico, labor man, reminds me, moving on up, we're number three, and soon we'll be number two, and of course we'll end up number one. Just fancy Iran, Germany, Spain, and we're just behind Italy by a little more than 21,000 cases, and then there's China up on top. We'll have China licked in no time, probably in more ways than one. I saw a video today of a young man who said, "Coronavirus can't get me," and videoed himself licking all the products on a shelf in like some sort of, you know, I don't know, Walgreens or CVS or something, licking individual, just running his tongue right down the aisle, licking different containers of deodorant. Mm-hmm. I wish I was joking. We're number three. We're number three. And thank yous are due. Thank you to Barbara. Thank you, Barbara, very much indeed. And thank you to Angelo. That's happy news indeed, because what that means is that we are at only $45 to go to meet Charlene's More in Monday challenge. Thank you. Thank you, Angelo, and thank you to Barbara. Thank you both so kindly indeed. Golf courses, says Tom in sunny San Rafael. Wow, that's essential? Last week, the Marin County Sheriff declined to arrest, but sternly sent home all the golfers on the local course and clarified to the course management that selling tee times online was not acceptable.
Well, in no way, shape, form, or fashion, Tom, should anybody understand that West Virginians should not be out there playing golf. Because, you see, golf is a healthy outdoor activity. Just like going to church is a healthy indoor activity.
David in South Carolina, Stan says, of Big Jim's press conference. Maybe they needed a bigger set for Big Jim to pontificate in. It's pretty damn big as it is. As far as Australia being closed, Lee in New York says, it's a plot to keep Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson. I'm about halfway willing to believe that. Down in South Carolina, Stan, MacGubna, David in South Carolina, Stan tells us, says South Carolina only doing random testing. How in the fuck do they do this? Just run up on people and run a swab up some unsuspecting person's nose? Also, we're not allowed in groups over three people. Those groups over three will be dispersed by law enforcement. National Guard will also be on the case. No decision on whether to keep schools closed longer. They're closed until April 1st. How could they have school with that three-person rule, though? McGovernor did not say. Well, because McGovernor, not brightest bulb. Mm-mm. Mercy. Yeah, we got frontiered for a minute there. Thanks to Flavio and Billable Rick and Brother Deacon Asa for letting me know. Got to keep track of that, and I get a crick in my neck trying to watch three screens at one time. Kyle in Kentucky, Stan, says, well, Bob, you know, Jesus is going to save all the old sick people from the virus if they just get together real close and pray. Oh, you mean the churches are going broke and can't pay for the pastor's third home? Well, that explains everything, doesn't it? # land of the stupid. Oh, great, Kyle continues. The coal miners can die from black lung and COVID-19. Jesus, how can one governor be so damn stupid? Ooh, high quality. Dennis from Columbus. Conceited, obnoxious, vindictive, irrational Donald. In 20. COVID. Nope, Frank, this is Monday's program. Mm-hmm. Sorry if they all seem to have something in common, but, well, what we got in common is our misery, so the least we can do is share it. Dennis continues and points out, it's a matter of terminology. Recently, in a news conference, the head of the Ohio Department of Health referred to clusters. Re-Trump and company's response to the coronavirus outbreak, the term seems most appropriate. It's a cluster fuck. Angelo, writing from the People's Republic of the Bronx, queries, is there anybody not convinced that Trump is a foreign agent sent by Putin and Russia to bring about the collapse of the U.S. and the West? You don't have to make the case to me. Oh, and thank you, Dave, for getting in on the warning about the frontiering. And thank you to Sailor Chick. Thank you, Sailor Chick. Sailor Chick just took us down to only $15 to go to meet Charlene's challenge. Thank you so much. Thank you tremendously. Oh, and by the way, just a little bit of trivia, courtesy of Ron in Raleigh. Ron in Raleigh, who reminded me earlier this afternoon that subject line, happy birthday. Hey, Bob, 213 years in the future from yesterday, the second son of George and Winona Kirk, nay Davis. See, we're kin folks. I got Davises in my line, too. Gave birth to their second child, named for their maternal and paternal grandfathers, James for Winona's and Tiberius for George's. Firstborn son, George Samuel, happily welcomed his baby brother during his formative years in Riverside, Iowa. James was a rambunctious but good-natured child. He went on to join the Starfleet Academy and rose to prominence as the youngest, most decorated starship captain in Starfleet history. Happy birthday, yesterday, 213 years from now, to James Tiberius Kirk. David in South Carolina, Stan says, I concur. It's almost as if an enemy of the United States installed an idiot as POTUS to destroy the United States of America from within. You know, like they promised they'd do once upon a time, without ever firing a shot. Meanwhile, just because I guess Brother Usher Steve thinks I don't have enough intracranial pressure as it is, Steve writes, see, Bob, there's no difference between the Democrats and Republicans. Jill Stein for president. Abolish the cancer-causing Wi-Fi now. Yeah, it's never a bad time to remind us all what a... And thank you, Ralphs. Guess what? We are 33 minutes into the program. Charlene's challenge has been met, and we can be done with fundraising for the evening. So, yay, that's wonderful. And that's another day that we know we will be on the air. Magnificent. So that means tomorrow's fundraising goal is only, you know, $100, which is awesome. But... Lee in New York, as the cruise ship says, how to get back to where you started by water. Jet planes, how to get somewhere by air while being treated like cargo. Virus, what you get on the above two. Ain't that the damn truth? Randy in PA reminds us, what turns the occasional cruise ship into a sewer oven nowadays is the fact that cruise ships used to be built with two engines driving two propellers. But some bean counter discovered that if you built cruise ships with only one engine driving one screw, the cruise ship line could save a lot of money. Of course, when that one engine fails, there's no longer any redundancy, and people cook with overflowing toilets while the ship is adrift. You know, you'd think you'd want that redundancy. Or maybe if you really need to, you'd want to go full speed ahead with both engines. If you had to try to get to port or outrun some shit or go in the other direction, but no, because the accounting department. Oh, well, now that's a different way of looking at it. Lee in New York says, Trump's not a foreign agent. A foreign agent would not live off fatal fast food. No, he's just a stupid American. E pluribus unum, one idiot out of many. This time, Billable Rick, I have not been frontiered. Everything's happily streaming along and no buffering whatsoever. And, yeah. So, like I said, I got a whole bunch of audio for this evening. Some of which will probably send you into paroxysms of rage and fury. So let's do the fun thing first, just to sort of make it all a little less miserable. Now, I don't know for a fact that this is Morgan Freeman's voice. I desperately want to believe that it is Morgan Freeman's voice. If it's not, it's someone who does Morgan Freeman almost as well as my son does. But this sounds like the genuine article. You ready?
Toilet paper, hanging from a roll. Toilet paper, oh, where did you go? Everything's okay. Everything'll be all right. But one thing's for certain, I won't be wiping myself tonight.
And that's your daily affirmation. Ode to an empty roll of toilet paper, as voiced by Morgan Freeman. For all I know, written by Morgan Freeman, too. Yesterday's little exercise in Trumpian stupidity was particularly unnerving, because after having facepalmed Thursday, suddenly neither Dr. Birx nor Dr. Fauci were anywhere to be seen. They weren't up on the stage at the White House press room yesterday with COVID Caligula. No. And he's not a fully actuated human being. He's a paranoid bundle of venal insecurities and petty grievances. We've entered a phase in his presidency where it's Festivus all day, every day, and we are here only to witness his airing of grievances. And so one of the reporters put a question to him that he didn't know about. He didn't realize, apparently he had not heard the news, and I'm sure you have, but I'll go ahead and mention it, about Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, who's comfortably well off, socially secure. And the fact that Rand Paul had tested positive for the coronavirus and had excused himself from the Senate of the United States, but only after, well, he was perfectly healthy, he had no symptoms, but because of his extensive travel and speaking schedule, somebody decided it would be a good idea to give one of those incredibly scarce coronavirus tests to Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist. Yeah. What they did. And he tested positive. But he didn't quarantine himself while he was waiting for his test results. And in fact, the morning that he got his positive results back, he went down and did some huffing and some puffing in the Senate gym, and then he went for a nice splash in the Senate pool, both of which were inexplicably still open, because I guess senators can't get the Trump virus. I guess. And he also sat down and had lunch with every Republican member of the Senate of the United States. But then he got his results back and announced he was going into quarantine and that he was perfectly healthy. And well, now we're involved in an experiment. If Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, remains asymptomatic and enjoys a complete recovery, we will know that being a towering, monumental dickhead is apparently some sort of prophylaxis against the virus. Yeah. But Nitwit Nero didn't know about that. And then he also didn't know about the other senators who had gone into quarantine because they had come in contact with Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist.
It's a living.
And so when the reporter mentioned it to him, his orange little ears perked up. Corona Caligula's did. And the following transpired.
Romney, Senator Lee, Senator Rick Scott also. Two of them were in contact with
Rick is coming out.
With the critical stimulus package vote expected.
Romney's in isolation?
Yes.
Gee, that's too bad. Go ahead.
Detect sarcasm there?
No.
Sir?
None whatsoever.
Do you think...
No, none whatsoever. That evil fucker. And he's so short-sighted, he can't comprehend that he actually needs Bishop Willard Romney right now more than Bishop Willard Romney needs him. Because, you see, the Republican majority in the Senate is hanging by a thread. And it's probably a thread that has several coronavirus particles on it. Because the Republicans don't really take the disease seriously. They're still pretty sure that it's a Chinese hoax, just like climate change. And so they go and they have lunch and they sit right next to each other and they pat each other on the back and they give each other a laurel and hearty handshake and a hail fellow well met and they explosively harumph at one another. And now you've got five Republican senators in quarantine, unable to come and vote. In a situation where Mitch McConnell, the worst thing ever to emerge from Sheffield, Alabama, needs every vote he can get to reach the 60-vote threshold to overcome filibusters. Which, again, didn't happen today. Hey. Steve in Georgistan says, I think for all intents and purposes, they're closed, for they are not staffed. However, it can be accessed via a keypad. Well, if that's the case, then we need, like, chains or something. Not on the senators, on the doors, you understand. And so it was hot yesterday in the Senate, and it got hotter still. Because, like I said, the Republicans want to use this opportunity to rob the people of the United States blind. Sherrod Brown, who is more than a match for Tom Head Full of Cotton from Arkansas, finally lost his sense of decorum. Sherrod Brown lost his sense of decorum with Tom Head Full of Cotton. Yeah. And justifiably so, I think.
...decided he had to go back to Kentucky to go to a political event with the Justice of the Supreme Court. A political event with the Justice of the Supreme Court in...
This is basically giving the background on why nothing had been done back when Mitch McConnell was sending the Senate away on a long weekend. And it was because he wanted to go back and hobnob in Kentucky. For my part, well, I'm worrying, you see. I try to emulate the attitude of a Quaker with a deep-seated belief in the sanctity of human life. And with that in mind, I worry about Rand Paul. I do. And given that Mitch McConnell is not only the political party leader of Rand Paul's party in the Senate, but also the senior senator from Kentucky, from whence Rand Paul and that thing on his head also hail, I think there would be nothing finer than for Mitch McConnell and his wife, Elaine Chao, the money that he married, I think there would be nothing finer than for Mitch to go and visit Rand Paul and sit there side by side with him and take his hand, Rand Paul's hand, in his own, pat it repeatedly, and convey to Rand Paul the most fervent thoughts and prayers of all of us in America for a speedy recovery. Perhaps they might even want to share the Christian kiss of peace and a hug from all of us out here in America. Yes, yes, you see. Because we're caring people. But Mitch did. Mitch dawdled. Mitch fiddled while the country burned. And I suspect what those 3 days really were the 3 days that the Republicans needed to figure out the plan for the heist that they planned to run on we, the people of the United States, working on that more perfect union. And so it came to be time for debate in the world's greatest debating society. And Sherrod Brown began to just explain to the world the way things worked around there.
Donald decided he had to go back to Kentucky to go to a political event with the Justice of the Supreme Court. A political event with the Justice of the Supreme Court in Kentucky.
Senator yield.
I'm sorry, what?
Will the senator yield?
Of course.
When did the Senate receive that bill from the House?
That's not the point. The point is that...
Will the senator yield?
certainly.
Will you answer my question? When did the House receive that bill?
I don't know the day, but that I know it was a day or two later.
What about where has the House been for the last week?
I'm not yielding now, Senator Cox.
Where has the House been for the last week?
I always want to do Trump, the president's bidding. I always want to do is I have the floor and I will keep the floor. The fact is that we were in negotiations with Speaker Pelosi, I assume with Leader McCarthy. In the Senate, we were this close to legislation. Senator McConnell went home. Senator Cotton's not disputing the fact he went home for a political event with a justice of the Supreme Court, for gosh sakes. Went home third Friday. We didn't vote Friday. We didn't vote Saturday. We didn't vote Sunday. We didn't vote Monday. We didn't vote Tuesday. We didn't vote until Wednesday. So we've tried to be bipartisan. Senator McConnell then dispatched all of us just a few days ago to do negotiations within our committees. I sat with...
Would the senator yield for a question?
Well, I'd like to sort of explain the senator details, does not yield. But if the time comes out of your time, I'd be glad to.
The senator yields. My question will be short.
They can't stand it. They can't stand having their own hypocrisy handed to them on a silver platter. They can't stand being exposed for the thugs and cut purses, the highwaymen and the footpads that they fucking well are. You want to know how bad it's gotten? I have actually scrounged up a modicum of respect. Oh, Jesus. If y'all feel like you need to, after I say what I say, if y'all feel like you need to hurl or maybe just go ahead and get the hockey puck to cut down on the screaming. I'm actually scrounging up a couple of molecules of respect for Joe Manchin. Now, bear in mind, this is because I'm a political grown-up. I know I'm going to have differences of opinion. And I know that Joe Manchin has disappointed me far more often than he's ever impressed me. But I'll be dipped if Joe Manchin didn't stand up to chinless Mitch McConnell and take that stupid venal fucker, that evil bastard, to school. Arguably, it's kind of a beautiful thing. They got into it over how debate was going to be conducted and what was going to be the thrust of the Republican so-called stimulus. You, like me, might actually enjoy this. You might find it a little bit refreshing.
Money at Wall Street you want to. You can continue to put trillions upon trillions. People are afraid to leave their home. They're afraid because they're afraid of the health care. I've got workers who don't have masks. I've got health care workers that don't have gowns. I've got hospitals that won't be open in another 60 days because they have no cash flow. And it looks like we're worried more about the economy than we are about the health care and the well-being of the people of America. Yes, sir.
Majority Leader.
My question is, does the senator understand that even if cloture were invoked, there's still 30 more hours?
We know that. The 30 yeah. hours, I said
so
that.
In what way, I would ask my friend from West Virginia, would your side be disadvantaged by that? The yes, American people are waiting for us to act today.
Yeah,
Senator from West Virginia.
This has laid it out very clearly, as she always does. We don't have time for this. We don't have time for it.
Let me ask you a question. On the 30
answer
hours.
My question. In what way would the Democratic minority be
because you're the majority, you have...
Senator from West Virginia. Senator from West Virginia has the floor.
Cool. Yeah. Sir, no, anything I'm saying, 30 hours to 30 days, as long as you have the majority, 51 votes rule. So the vote, the final vote's going to be on passage, whether you have to negotiate or not with us.
The majority leader.
We'd have to... If my friend McGill, we'd have to get cloture again... once we got on the bill. In other words, this is cloture on the motion to proceed to the bill. Let me explain it to my good friend.
I understand.
Here's the way it works, colleagues. We have been fiddling around, as the senator from Maine pointed out,
Mr. President,
for 24 hours.
Senator from West Virginia has the floor.
I'll be happy. I know where you're coming from on this. We just have a little different opinion about this.
I thank my friend from West Virginia. I think
the majority leader.
Colleagues would benefit from understanding where we are. We've been fiddling around for 2 days. On the motion to proceed.
Yeah.
If, my friend, if that were invoked, there's still 30 more hours post-cloture on the motion to proceed. Once you get on the bill, you have to go through it again. So there's no way in which
the senator from West Virginia.
We should be able to get a deal that we can move forward in unanimous consent. We really should. That's what I'm hoping for, and I think we can do it. Let me go back and say where I'm coming from. My whole thing is based around the health care right now. You can't throw enough money to fix this if you can't fix the health care. If you can't give my people in West Virginia and across this country the feeling that we have a treatment and we're moving towards a vaccine, they're not leaving their homes. My restaurants aren't going to open up. So the most important thing, how do we take care against the workers that have lost their jobs, no fault of their own? Businesses have closed, same in my state as your state, no fault of their own. That's the package we have to get out. We have $160 billion moving right now. Moving right now. So I'm saying this. It looks like things are weighted towards the Wall Street corporation side. True or false? We're not in the front line. Not one of the big four. Many of us. 100 of us are not there negotiating at the table. Our staffs are all having input. We're working on that. But sitting there making the final decisions. This comes down, can we give the confidence that we can rise to the occasion to keep the people healthy in our states? My hospitals need to stay open. My health care workers need to be healthy. They need to be protected. And it seems like we're talking about everything else about the economy versus the health care. That doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. The people aren't getting a check right now. We can get a check to them. We should. But it seems like we're more focused on the big corporations and the health care of Wall Street than we are the health care of the people in rural America and Main Street. That's the problem that I've had on this, and that's the problem that we've been talking about. So we want to fix this. I'm not talking about all the regulations you're talking about. I don't know anything about that. I will find out if it's buried in the bill. And it's not what I would approve either right now. We don't need it. But if you're giving all the preferences to the large corporations that can shield and hide and do buybacks and everything else, don't you think the American worker ought to get something or be protected some way? I think that's really what it's like. And that's what we're talking about.
Mr. President, Senator from Tennessee.
I yield the floor.
Senator from Tennessee.
How about that? Twice in 1 year, asks Steve in New York. Twice in 1 year, showing respect for Senator Manchin, the impeachment trial vote, too. I know. Thank God I've laid in a supply with bleach because I'm going to be showering in it. Brother Deacon Asa says, one potential upside of this whole coronavirus business is that it may help permanently extinguish that putrid voice of Addison, Moscow, Mitch McConnell. His Irish predecessors have worn the sides of their tombs smooth from rolling over. What a titanic piece of shit. Well, he is all of that. And, by the way, going back to Rand Paul for just a minute, Flavio reminds us, didn't Rand Paul's neighbor do a number on him such that one of his lungs was punctured by a rib and Rand had to be operated on? His lungs might not be doing so good after that. Well, no, in point of fact, Flavio, what happened was back when Rand Paul's neighbor was trying to teach Rand Paul how to behave like a civilized human being instead of a fucking libertarian asshole, well, they did have to operate on Rand Paul, and they removed a part of one of his lungs. So his respiratory capacity is already diminished. But a question, and I think this is an important one, coming from Darlene in Connecticut. Why does McConnell sound so stressed out and frantic? It's clear he's not in control, and it shows. To see McConnell squirm is just, well, lovely. I hope the Democrats hold the line. Please do not budge. I agree, Darlene. And he's frantic, by my estimation, for two reasons. One of those reasons. Brother Deacon Asa, did they also happen to surgically remove Rand Paul's sense of shame during that operation? No. That is, the answer is definitively no to that question. He never had a sense of shame to begin with. So, that. Steve in New York says, I got to tell you, Senator Joe actually killed it with the corporations are getting all the attention and the workers should receive something. I'd like to go ahead and award the good senator a cowbell. Well, by unanimous consent, we will give Joe Manchin his first cowbell. That having been said, don't pin too much on him. But he's getting this one right. And maybe, I'm not going that far. Nope, just can't make me. But to get back to Darlene's question, why does McConnell sound so stressed out and frantic? I suspect there are two reasons for that. One, he knows that he is the single most despised senator in the entire United States. And that takes some doing when the Senate you're a part of contains people like Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America. And Susan Collins! And so he feels a certain amount of heat from Amy McGrath on the back of his neck. Now, Amy McGrath is not going to meet very many people's idea of being sufficiently ideologically pure. What she isn't, however, is Mitch fucking McConnell. And she's putting together a pretty impressive little war chest. And it is lovely, Darlene, to see him squirm. Like a copperhead that's been run over in the middle of the road. But there's another part of this, and it's what I mentioned earlier. Moscow Mitch is perilously close to losing control of the Senate. I don't mean that there's going to be some sort of palace coup. Rather, that he is simply not going to have the numbers for the votes that he needs. He will either burn this country to the ground in a petulant fit, demanding he get his way, or he will have to compromise. And remember, all of this wrangling... Darlene says, please don't insult copperhead snakes. I got to admit, they're my second least favorite snake behind the water moccasin. I mean, although they do get a terrible reputation. My God, if you've ever seen a granny go after a copperhead with a hoe, the copperhead never has a chance. No. But the thing that's curious here is this insistence that whatever gets done has to be some sort of sweeping omnibus pile of bullshit. Here's the reality. You could do multiple bills. What matters right now, here in Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth now, today, in the universe, forever, under God, amen, is getting help to people so that they can pay their fucking rent come April 1. So that they can make their power bills. So that they can keep up the insurance and keep up the car payments. Or a mortgage. And people like Elizabeth Warren are putting forward plans that call for continuous support and doesn't leave out people who are on disability or people who are on Social Security. It is possible to provide relief for those issues that matter most first. Providing health care to people who may be impacted by the virus. Making sure that there are no $37,000 bills for testing. Making sure that there's income support for the next several months so that this country doesn't fall completely to pieces, because I know it will come as a complete fucking shock to the hedge fund dirtbags and the assholes who know which fork to use with the shrimp and which fork to use with the goddamned oysters. But the people who carry this country on their backs are far more important than the CEO of a cruise line company or the chief financial officer of a goddamned airline. The ability of this country to produce masks and gowns and gloves, hand sanitizer, is all exponentially more important than making sure that we prop up the quarterly profit and loss statement of Amalgamated fucking Widget. So we could actually have multiple bills. We could have a bill that makes sure that everybody has money coming in. And in that bill, we could also wrap in making sure that the hospitals stay open. And that doctors get, and hospitals and clinics get paid when people come down with this virus, who are among the 27.5 million people in this country who don't have health insurance. We could have that bill. And a pox upon the house of anyone who votes against it. Then we could have another bill to, in some way, shape, form, or fashion, to, quote, make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice, provide relief to airlines and cruise lines and banks, and we could do that too. Here's the problem, and Mitch McConnell knows it. If we take care of the people first, then the people of the United States are going to be much less interested in taking care of Thurston Murgatroyd the Fifth and making sure he can make his yacht payment. And that, coupled with the possibility that a few more of these idiot Republican senators go into quarantine and Mitch McConnell is fucked, have created in him a sense of desperation. Scott in San Diego. Dear Mitch McConnell and the GOP Senate, you stupid fucks. An increase in so-called abstinence education should not be part of this COVID-19 emergency funding bill. Stop using it as a stalling tactic to block vital legislation from being passed that will get money to out-of-work Americans. If COVID-19 sickens and then kills us all, there won't be an issue with young folks or anybody else having sex before marriage, as we'll all be permanent abstainers. Do your goddamn jobs, you self-righteous twerps, or you won't have one after the elections in November. P.S. Regarding Granny and the Copperhead, she wasn't helped by a hoe. They are professional sex workers. No, I probably should have specified that. In fact, I thought about it. An HOE, the garden implement, which Granny would use to hoe the corn, and Grandpa would dutifully sharpen to make sure that it was a weapon that could take off a toe or the head of a copperhead. But that's where we are, because one of the things that the Republicans are all about, naturally, is, I mean, the country may be burning up from a virus for which there is no known cure. But you got to give the Republicans credit for getting bought and staying bought. Because they're terribly, 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 terribly worried about the, wait for it, it's on the way, it'll be here in a minute, precious little fetuses. Because they want to make sure that none of this here stimulus money goes to that there Planned Parenthood. We wouldn't want none of them. We wouldn't want none of them women people getting their breastuses scanned to make sure they don't have the breast cancer there at the Planned Parenthood. Yeah. So it's being, they're messaging, they are messaging their ass off. You know, there was a trending hashtag, Nancy Pelosi hates America. Democrats hate America. Meanwhile, it's the Republicans who are out there holding somebody who works as a cook at a little restaurant in West Virginia hostage because they're afraid that a woman might get a pap smear at Planned Parenthood. Jesus. But that's who they are. Flavio says, say a prayer for this guy. He's 52. A young man from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Amy Klobuchar said her husband, who works as a law professor in Baltimore, had quarantined himself and stopped going to work after coming down with cold symptoms. After developing a fever and coughing up blood, he sought medical care and was hospitalized in Virginia due to testing that showed very low oxygen levels. Bessler, that's his name, 52, has developed pneumonia and is on oxygen but does not need a ventilator at this time, according to the statement. He received confirmation that he has coronavirus on Monday morning, 5 days after taking the test. Flavio says, this shit's serious. Say a prayer for this guy. Well, I don't pray. But I don't want anybody dying of this shit because, well, if there's ever been a moment when you ask not for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee, this is that moment. Because anyone and everyone is at risk. All that bullshit about how, well, you know, it really doesn't do much to young people. That turned out to be a fucking lie. And a huge one at that. There are lots of young people in hospital. There are young people dying. And it's not just the aged and the ancient who are at risk. Oh, no. We really are all in this together. All of us. And the only people who are immune are the people who've already had it. And it's weird. Because as it draws ever nearer, just me being me, I wonder if it's time to start getting some things said or leaving some notes. And it makes me want to weep. You know, that's the thing about death. Death is easy. You never even know you're dead. It's the getting there part that imposes the fear. And yeah, Darlene's right. Harvey Weinstein has contracted COVID-19. He got it at Rikers and then was transferred elsewhere, or was got it elsewhere and then was transferred to Rikers Island. I'm not sure which. But lo and behold, it's time for your evening nutcase. They found Dr. Birx, and she's standing there. I think she's blinking out the Morse code for help me. But standing right next to Corona Caligula is Bill Barr, who is demanding that he be given summary powers of indefinite, no, really, in the middle of a virus, he wants to put more people in prison. Really. And he wants to do so extrajudicially. He's written asking for the power to jail people indefinitely with no recourse. Because that's just an authoritarian's wet dream. Oh, God, he's Nitwit Nero is reading. What on earth is he trying to read? Let's find out.
Happened. Our country was at its strongest financial point. We've never had an economy like we had just a few weeks ago. And then it got hit with something that nobody could have ever thought possible.
And except everybody else in the world.
Fixing it. We're fixing it quickly, and I want to just thank the American people for what they've been through and what they're doing. Our country will be stronger than ever before, and we fully anticipate that, and it won't be that long. Let me provide you with an update on critical supplies. FEMA is distributing 8 million N95 respirator masks and 13.3 million surgical masks across the country right now. Focusing on the areas with the greatest need, we've shipped 73 pallets of personal protective equipment to New York City and 36 pallets to the state of Washington. In the past 96 hours, FEMA has also received donations of approximately 6.5 million masks. We're having millions and millions of masks made as we speak, and other personal protective equipment, which we will be distributing to medical hotspots. We're focused on some of the hotspots. Across the nation, we're seeing an outpouring of creativity and innovative ideas widely shared between the federal health leaders, governors, and mayors, the scientific community, and members of the private sector. Really working together. Everybody's working together. I'm pleased to report that clinical trials in New York will begin existing for existing drugs that may prove effective against the virus. At my direction, the federal government is working to help obtain large quantities of chloroquine. And you can look from any standpoint tomorrow in New York.
All right, let's talk about chloroquine for a minute. This stupid fucker's been out there touting it as a miracle cure. It isn't. But because he's been running his mouth about it, people are snapping it up and hoarding it panic buying it. And there's actually not enough. There's not enough chloroquine out there for medical professionals to test it to see if it actually does what he keeps saying that it does. But we do know this much about it. It is an extremely dangerous drug that should only be administered under a doctor's close supervision, because it can stop your heart in a minute. But he hears this shit on Fox or Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground. And he's so pants full of shit, filled with terror, that he's hanging his hat on anything that comes along. There are Republicans out there advising people, I kid you not, to take their hair dryers and blow hot air up their noses on the theory that the coronavirus cannot live in heat. I wish I was kidding. I'm not. Stephen, New York, the orange cock knocker's presser. You call me skeptical, Steve says. But I wonder if all these supplies are coming with the 5 million test kits. Yeah, thereabouts. Oh, and then over the weekend we found out that you remember how the two hospital ships were headed for New York? And then it turned out neither one of them was ready to go anywhere? Well, now it turns out that one of them is headed to Los Angeles. Talk about changing course in midstream. Tamiflu? Nah, I doubt that's any good. That's sort of viral specific. FEMA shipments. Scott in San Diego says, millions and millions of masks have been shipped, yet there's apparently not a single ball gag available to shut this fucker up for a while. The one thing that would do this country more good than anything else is if he wasn't president of the United States. Because he's out of his mind, he's always been out of his mind, and he's getting worse by the day. And the only thing we've got is Section 4 of the 25th Amendment. And they won't use it. Here we go. Stand by.
Order invoking presidential authority under Section 4512 of the Defense Production Act to prohibit the hoarding of vital medical equipment and supplies such as hand sanitizers, face masks, and personal protective equipment. We have a lot of face masks, a lot of equipment just coming in, and we have some people hoarding, and Attorney General Barr is going to be speaking about that in a second. We want to prevent price gouging, and critical health and medical resources are going to be protected in every form. Under this directive, the Secretary of Health and Human Services is authorized to designate essential health and medical supplies as scarce. So he'll designate certain supplies and medical elements as scarce. And that means it will be a crime to stockpile these items in excessive quantities, which is happening to a relatively small degree, we think, but nevertheless, it's happening. We can't let it happen. And we can't let them resell them at excessive prices, which some people are doing. Very simply, we will not allow anyone to exploit the suffering of American citizens for their own profit. So we're going to be watching that with our great Attorney General very closely. The Department of Justice will be aggressively prosecuting fraudulent schemes related to the pandemic. Yesterday, federal prosecutors took action in their first case, shutting down a website selling a totally fake vaccine, if you can believe that one. As president, I will always fight to protect Americans from being exploited.
Was it sold by the Trump Organization?
All throughout the country, we're witnessing extraordinary acts of compassion, benevolence, and unity. construction companies are donating masks by the hundreds of thousands. Manufacturing workers are transforming their assembly lines. Citizens are volunteering to deliver food and medicine to the elderly. We're truly seeing America at its best. We're really seeing things that people never thought even could happen. Frankly, we never thought this could happen. But the way most Americans are working toward getting it solved and just doing what they have to do to make this go away has been incredible. It's been incredible. I want to take a moment to thank the everyday heroes who are making our vast effort against the virus possible. And thank you to the healthcare workers and the first responders. These are very brave people. Thanks also to the hardworking men and women of Federal Express, UPS, United States Postal Service, and the truckers who are maintaining our supply chains and supply lines. We thank you very much. Great job. We also want to give our regards and thanks to everyone at our grocery stores working the night shift so that shelves can be restocked, and the restaurant workers and delivery drivers keeping our families fed. So many of these restaurants, it's incredible. They're doing service where people come and they pick it up.
I'm going to get to the point where I absolutely loathe, detest, and despise the word incredible. You'd think one of those lick spittle toadies in there could say, sir, have you got like 3 minutes for me to teach you a little bit about English? Incredible is not the word that you think you want to be using. You think you do, but you shouldn't. And then explain to him about credo credere, the Latin word for believe, and then putting the prefix in on it, and how that means that something that's incredible is not to be believed. So, sir, if you want people to think that you're lying to them, keep saying things are incredible.
Invisible scourge.
Scourge?
And all of the uplifting reflections of the American spirit are out there for everyone to see. Together we will care for our fellow citizens, and we will win this war, and we'll win it much sooner than people think. And we'll be back in business as a country pretty soon. You'll be hearing about that also pretty soon. Now I'd like to ask Attorney General Bill Barr to say a few words, and we'll take questions in a little while. Thank you.
Let me start by thanking you, Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, for your decisive leadership in this unprecedented battle to save American lives. At the Department of Justice, we're working hard to protect the health and safety of our personnel while at the same time keeping our enforcement efforts at full throttle. So I'd like to thank all of my colleagues in law enforcement, not just those at the federal level, but of all our state and local partners, the police officers, the sheriff's deputies who are protecting and serving their communities, often at great risk to themselves. What I'd like to do here is start with a few remarks about the order that the president mentioned to ensure the availability of critical medical and health supplies from hoarding and price gouging. On March 18th, the president issued Executive Order 13909, invoking the Defense Production Act, with respect to the health and medical resources needed to respond to the spread of COVID-19, including PPE and ventilators. We have started to see some evidence of potential hoarding and price gouging. And so earlier today, the president signed a second executive order providing the authority to address, if it becomes necessary, hoarding that threatens the supply of those necessary health and medical resources. Under Section 102 of the Defense Production Act, the president is authorized to prohibit the hoarding of needed resources by designating those materials as scarce or as materials whose supply would be threatened by persons accumulating excessive amounts. Once specific materials are so designated, persons are prohibited from accumulating those items in excess of reasonable personal or business needs, or for the purpose of selling them in excess of prevailing market prices. It is a crime to engage in prohibited activity. In today's executive order, the president is delegating to the Secretary of HHS this authority to protect against hoarding by designating these critical items. Now, no items have been designated yet, and the Department of Justice is going to be working with HHS to identify cases where hoarding may be impeding the supply of health and medical resources needed to respond to the COVID-19 pandemic. Today, we
I don't know about you, but I'm sure reassured, aren't you?
Task force meeting, a national task force that will be working on these supply chain issues and specifically on the problem of hoarding and price gouging. And we are designating in each of our 93 United States Attorney's offices a lead prosecutor who will be responsible in that district for pursuing these cases. I also want to say that we have not waited for this order to be signed. As we have received evidence recently, we have already initiated investigations of activities that are disrupting the supply chain and suggestive of hoarding. I want to stress that we're not talking about consumers or businesses stockpiling supplies for their own operations. We're talking about people hoarding these goods and materials on an industrial scale for the purpose of manipulating the market and ultimately deriving windfall profits. If you have a big supply of toilet paper in your house, this is not something you have to worry about. But if you are sitting on a warehouse with masks, surgical masks, you will be hearing a knock on your door. So with that, Mr. President, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you very much. Deborah, please. Deborah, please.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Just to start, I want to really thank all the ministers of health around the world who have been sending us their data despite the fight that they're in themselves, particularly our European colleagues. They continue to send us primarily their mortality data, which is really very critical.
You know why it's primarily our European colleagues? Because if she had thanked the Chinese colleagues, she'd be out of a job.
Site right now on
still no Dr. Fauci, by the way.
We really can't be testing at the level to really understand the depth and breadth of their new cases. In the mortality data that has been provided to us, there has been no child under 15 that has succumbed to the virus in Europe. There was the one 14-year-old in China. So we still see that there is less severity in children. And so that should be reassuring to the moms and dads out there. To Generation Z and to my millennial colleagues who have been really at the forefront of many of these responses, less than 1% of all the mortality is less than 50. And so this is, I think, also a very important point that doesn't mean that individuals won't have severe disease. So still 99% of all the mortality coming out of Europe in general is over 50 and pre-existing conditions. The pre-existing condition piece still holds in Italy, with the majority of the mortality having three or more pre-existing conditions. I think this is reassuring to all of us, but it doesn't change the need to continue to protect the elderly. And in order to protect the elderly, we all need to continue to do the president's directives and guidance for the next week of the 15-day challenge. Finally, I wanted to really close by thanking the laboratory personnel that have been at the front lines. 250,000 tests have been run in the last 7 days. This happened because these large commercial laboratories are doing round-the-clock runs. And remember, all of them are being exposed to the virus in the same way from the swabs. Yet tirelessly, they have worked on and on to get those results available. They are still getting more tests than they can run per day. That's because we were primarily expanded into what we call the Roche high-throughput Tricore machine. Those results have been getting to the clients, and we've asked them to prioritize hospitalized patients. There was a breakthrough today, and I think you'll see this from the FDA, in for all of those of you who are waiting for self-swabbing options. Those are going to be available sometime this week to be able to individuals do their own tests. That said, remember, these platforms are keeping up with those who need to be diagnosed in the hospitals and all those who come to the emergency room quite ill so that hospital beds can be freed up for those that don't have COVID. So that will be critical, that if you don't need a test and if it doesn't change your clinical course, do not come in to be tested. And I think that mortality data that I gave you should be very reassuring to all of you. Finally, to conclude, New York City. The New York metro area of New Jersey, New York City, and parts of Long Island have an attack rate close to 1 in 1,000. This is 5 times what the other areas are seeing. Through the high-throughput lab investigations, we're finding that 28% of the submitted specimens are positive from that area, where it's less than 8% in the rest of the country. So to all of my friends and colleagues in New York, this is the group that needs to absolutely social distance and self-isolate at this time. Clearly, the virus had been circulating there for a number of weeks to have this level of penetrance into the general community.
Thank you very much, Deborah.
Not Dr.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Deborah.
The White House Coronavirus Task Force met today, but we also convened, at the president's direction, a conference call with the nation's governors. And we focused on efforts at mitigation, at testing, and supplies. We discussed the president's recent approval of disaster declarations for Washington and California and New York. But we also assured governors who've submitted major disaster declarations that we will be reviewing them in an expeditious manner to ensure the full resources the federal government are brought to bear. The president wanted us to make it clear that the federal government will do whatever it takes to support an effort that is locally executed, state managed, and federally supported. We reiterated that to our governors today, listened to them about their specific needs.
I mean, I guess saying you're on your own is reiterating.
It's clear to them that while the president has published at coronavirus.gov the 15 days to slow the spread for every American, and millions of Americans are addressing these common sense guidelines to prevent the spread of the coronavirus in the days ahead, we made it clear to the governors that this president and this administration fully supports decisions that governors are making in communities and states that are particularly impacted by the spread of the coronavirus, and we are grateful for their efforts. We also spoke to the governors about the importance of the legislation that is currently being negotiated on Capitol Hill and asked them to encourage members of the House and the Senate to move very quickly. The bill that is currently being negotiated, the president said that he believes will be resolved soon, and we're encouraged by it. We'll speed direct payments to families. The average family of four will receive $3,000 directly. There'll be payroll subsidies for small businesses around America to keep people on the payroll while they might be required to stay home. Unemployment insurance benefits, assistance to hospitals and major industries, and we continue to urge the Congress to act and ask the governors to engage their delegations. On the subject of testing, we reiterated our thanks to states across the country that are rapidly expanding testing at drive-through sites and at community sites. As Dr. Birx just reflected, because of the unprecedented public and private partnership that the president initiated with our commercial labs, we stand here today with 313,000 tests having been completed, with the test results delivered to Americans, and still somewhat more than 41,000 have contracted coronavirus. But this state-run effort is continuing to receive the full support of our team at FEMA and at the U.S. Public Health Service. We're deploying personnel, we're deploying resources, and testing is literally expanding around the country by the hour. As Dr. Burse also mentioned, the FDA has been in the process of reviewing less invasive methods of testing. The president and I both reflected on the fact that we have been tested, and we've been working with the FDA to make it possible for self-collected nasal swabs, where individuals could, at the end of their nasal passage, collect a sample. And I'm pleased to report that that self-collected swabs can now be collected in clinics and at drive-through testing sites. This will expedite the testing process, of course, but it will also reduce the risk to healthcare providers for exposure to the coronavirus, and it will minimize the drain on personal protective equipment. With the current test that goes pretty significantly up the nasal passage, people have to wear gear and then change out the gear. And this new self-administered test will actually not require the drain on personal protective equipment, and it's all a part of our effort, as Admiral Polovchek will discuss in just a few moments, to meet the supply needs that we have across the country, but to meet them with efforts at conservation as well. On the subject of testing, it's important to remember, as the old book said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And so if you don't have symptoms, you don't need to get a coronavirus test. We encourage every American to adhere to that so that the testing resources...
Now, wait a goddamn minute. How many times do we have to be told that you can be asymptomatic and still contagious? But if you don't have symptoms, you don't need a test. So that means we're never going to know how far and wide this disease has spread. And we're never going to quarantine people who are carrying the disease asymptomatically and spreading it around. You know, like Rand Paul. Jesus, these ignorant fucks.
Received a report of the new Supply Chain Stabilization Task Force. Rear Admiral John Polovchek is leading that up at FEMA, and the task force is working to identify medical supplies that exist in the marketplace today to evaluate the national stockpile, and also working with industries around the country to produce even more of the critical medical supplies. And as the president said, businesses across America are stepping up, and maybe as never before in our history. 3M, in fact, has diverted 500,000 N95 masks from commercial customers, and they're being delivered today to New York and Seattle.
Just a question. Can we get through one of these damn things without a bunch of commercials for American corporations? God, 3M doesn't have enough money to buy an ad like what Mike Pence just gave them for free.
To create ventilators, to create equipment. And I know I speak for the president when I say how grateful and proud we are for that. We also discussed with the governors a real breakthrough on the availability of ventilators. We called on the governors to survey all outpatient surgical centers and hospital operating rooms, because surgical ventilators that anesthesiologists use, because of an FDA decision rendered this last weekend, those can be easily converted now to ventilators that can be used for people struggling with severe illness from the coronavirus. And so we called on our governors in conversations with state leaders to survey all of their surgical centers and hospital operating rooms to identify that equipment. And with the new FDA guidelines, they'll be able to convert those to help meet the needs of ventilators across the country. We are now 8 days into the president's 15 days to slow the spread. And the American people are rising to the challenge. We're doing this. But in the days that remain between now and the end of the 15 days, we're going to need every American to take this seriously. Listen to your state and local health authorities where there may...
Oh, my God. At the end of the 15 days, he's going to declare business as usual and send a diseased public back out into rubbing shoulders and rubbing elbows and pretend that everything's okay, and then it's really going to get bad. Because the fucker keeps listening to Jared Among other things, he thinks he can ignore Dr. Fauci, whom he doesn't like anymore because Dr. Fauci called him out. He thinks he can ignore Dr. Fauci because Jared keeps giving him bullshit conspiracy theories. Fuck us to pieces.
With dedicated leadership at the state and federal level, I know that we can slow the spread, we can protect our most vulnerable, and we will heal our land.
Thank you, Mike.
It ain't the land that needs healing, pencil neck.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. So I'm Rear Admiral John Polovchek. I'm the Supply Chain Task Force lead at FEMA. My task is to increase the supply of critical medical supplies, which include personal protective.
We have been listening to the White House task force.
Oh, for pity's sakes. Now, they cut away there at that network, but they're continuing on another.
Operating under four lines of effort. First line of effort, you see, is preservation. And the leaders tonight have talked about that ability to make our stuff.
Now, I want to talk a minute about visuals, because it's radio. What I'm looking at right now, and what you may be seeing as well, is four older white men who are all standing within 4 feet of one another. Nitwit Nero's standing there, swaying back and forth and scowling. Mike Pencilneck Geek is standing directly behind Corona Caligula. United States Attorney General Pepe the Frog is behind and between Trump and Admiral Polachek. And they are telling America by their body language that social distancing really doesn't matter. That it's not as important as we keep saying it is. Now, either they're really, I at this point in time, it makes the paranoia run high. Have they all been given some sort of prophylaxis that keeps them from getting it? How did Trump not wind up testing positive when he was blithering with those people from Brazil? The admiral just went over and got up on top of Dr. Birx, and she said, and she gestured, "No, you get over there. Get the fuck away from me. Y'all may not take this seriously, but I do." So now, oh Jesus, Corona Caligula is taking questions. One wonders what the grievance of the day will be.
And certainly this is going to be bad, and we're trying to make it so that it's much, much less bad. And
well,
that's what we're doing. I think
bad.
We're doing a very good job of it. If you look at other countries, what they've been through, and you look at the kind of numbers and compare them to ours, which is a much larger country than most.
A couple of emails. Russell says, 8 days. That's 8 days without a school shooting. The only good news. Barbara, meanwhile, said, "Shit, Bob, it seems like the public is doing more than the idiot in chief, and he's taking all the credit along with the asshole that's talking now." Oh, yeah, they're just finding out about price gouging. The asshole back then was, Attorney General Pepe the Frog. Angelo says, "Jumping Jesus, Jehoshaphat, and Joshua. These idiots are trying to kill us all. That moron thinks it'll be over in 8 more days. Is he kidding?" Sadly, no, he's not kidding. Because Trump is calling his business buddies and saying, "Hey, do you think we can just open everything back up again?" Because, see, he may not know much, but he does know what it's, he does know that the stock market has forgotten his existence. We're down in the 18,000 territory now.
For the health of the
vulnerable populations of the country, are you going to say, I'm sorry, the economy is too important?
Well, you'll see what happens. I understand the question very well. It's a great question, but we can do two things at one time. I will say this. Our country's learned a lot. We've learned about social distancing. We've learned about the hands. We've learned about
the hands. We've learned about
staying
the hands.
Away, at least during the time that this is even a little bit around. This disease or whatever you want to call it, many different names. You can call it many different names, but the virus, while it's around. And we can start thinking about, as an example, parts of our country are very lightly affected, very small numbers. And, you know, you look at a state, great governor, Pete Ricketts in Nebraska. You look at the kind of numbers they have out there. They have one of the great hospitals there, too, relative to what we're talking about. But you look at Nebraska, you look at Idaho, you look at Iowa, you look at many countries that are handling it very, very well and that are not affected to the same extent or, frankly, not even nearly to the extent of New York, which is really, I'm dealing with Governor Cuomo, and we're dealing very well together. We'll be sending that ship up, by the way, as you know. We have a ship going to Los Angeles. We'll also be, the ship is coming out of a very large repair. It's all ready to go. It very soon will be. And over the next 3 or 4 weeks, that'll be coming up to New York. We'll go to New York Harbor, and it'll be fully supplied. So they're working on that right now.
And maybe Dr. Burks can speak to this. Do you share the president's optimism that in a week we might have a situation where we can say, you know, there's a few hot spots, but much of the country...
Well, I didn't say in a week, but I said soon. It's going to be soon. It's not going to be 3 or 4 months, as some people were saying, and a lot of people thought originally, but I would certainly let you answer.
And are you worried that some of the cities and states that haven't had the infection yet are lagging indicators and that we're going to start seeing cases?
So you've raised two important issues. One, I think you all know a lot of our tests have had to go to hospitals at this time so that we can diagnose people who are at risk to give them options to get these new therapeutic options. None of these therapeutic options are available if you don't know your diagnosis. So we've been very much focused on that. With adding Abbott, Thermo Fisher, Hologic, and now Cepheid platforms. Cepheid's that new platform that is point of care, but slower. So, you know, you've got to match the throughput, the need to what kind of equipment you have. Now that we have all those platforms moving simultaneously, we can go back to doing case finding and surveillance in the areas that have the most lower numbers, as well as doing mitigation more aggressively in the places that have higher numbers. We went out with a very blunt force. I mean, we have to all be honest. We had to do that because we weren't sure where the virus was and where it is going. I think over this week, we're concentrated on figuring out exactly where the virus is and making projections about where it's going and the impact of our mitigation pieces. We learned this in tackling epidemics around the world. You have to focus the resources and the intervention and the structural prevention interventions in the areas where the virus is circulating. Otherwise, people never understand why you're doing this and they don't have any virus. So it has to be very tailored geographically, and it may have to also be very tailored by age group, really understanding who's at the greatest risk and understanding how to protect them.
But there's data showing that in 3 months, as the president said, we won't need broad to follow these broad guidelines that we've
The only data that we all have, and I think you all know what it is, the two areas that have moved through their curve is China and South Korea. So those are the two countries that we're learning from. Those were 8 different times. So Washington State is on their curve. They're about 2 weeks ahead of New York. And so each of these have to be done in a very granular way to really understand where we are. And it's the charge that the president has given us is to use all of our data analytics and all of our data inputs to really define those issues about where the virus is, where is it going, and what predictions we can make about when where we are in that bell-shaped curve.
I think that's a great definition. And I will say we're going to be watching our senior citizens very closely. We're going to be watching certain hotspots like New York. And within New York, you have areas which are troubling. And we'll be working with the governor and the mayor and everybody else on those spots. But at the same time, at a certain point, we have to get open and we have to be we have to get moving. We don't want to lose these companies. We don't want to lose these workers. We want to take care of our workers. So we'll be doing something.
Oh, my God.
I think relatively quickly. But we've learned a lot during this period. This was a very necessary period.
We've got to save these companies.
Tremendous information was gained.
Holy shit.
But we can do two things at one time. You know, and again, I say we have a very active flu season, more active than most. It's looking like it's heading to 50,000 or more deaths. Deaths, not cases. 50,000 deaths.
He's talking about the flu now?
He
really thinks this is the flu.
You look at automobile accidents, which are far greater than any numbers we're talking about. That doesn't mean we're going to tell everybody no more driving of cars. So we have to do things.
We handled that one on Friday on the front porch 2 weeks ago.
But this has been an incredible period of learning, and we'll have announcements over the next fairly short period as to the timing. John, please.
Mr. President, I want to ask about these guidelines on testing. Obviously, Senator Rand Paul has tested positive for coronavirus. Yeah. But he was not in contact with anybody who was a known positive, and he didn't have any major symptoms. Under your guidelines, under the guidelines that have been outlined here, he would not have gotten a test. He got one anyway. So what do you say to him? He's pointed out that if he hadn't gone basically in defiance of these guidelines and got tested, he might still be showing up to the Senate now and infecting the whole U.S. Senate.
So that's why this was important. That's why this recommendation to the American people was important, because we have been saying that there is a level of asymptomatic or mild spread. And that's why each person has to be responsible. Each person has to be responsible in the way that they decrease their interaction with others, the 6 feet, and you're all very social distance, so thank you. But also assuming that everyone that you're interacting with could be positive. And that gets into the hand washing piece, and that gets into the other piece we talked about is surfaces. I think until we really figure out the respiratory transmission versus the surface transmission, and this hard surface transmission, not fabric, will be really critical, because that is a way the virus could spread on subways or metros, where people would be holding on to things that other people had recently held on to. But so that's the real question.
But if we can just keep with the example of Rand Paul, and obviously there are many other people that would be in a similar situation, but just keep with this one example. If he hadn't gotten that test, he would still be showing up.
Understand, this is an attempt by Jonathan Carl to rehabilitate Rand Paul.
If he had followed these guidelines, he wouldn't have been infecting others because of the social distancing, washing your hands, doing everything that we talked about. So we've talked about also how people make choices because of their jobs that they have to come in. You'll notice I was not here over the weekend.
Yeah, we did.
I think this is the part that we really need to take personal responsibility for.
Where's Fauci?
Saturday, had a little low-grade fever.
So then Nitwit Nero says, and does social distancing.
I looked it
and
up.
Attorney General Pepe the Frog is giggling.
I'm from Walter Reed, so I got a test late Saturday night, and I'm negative. I stayed home another day just to, just to make sure. That's how we protect one another. So, you know, unless everybody's taking their temperature every day, we can't say that he had no symptoms. These are the kinds of things that we have to do for one another. This is the personal responsibility that I'm talking about, that we all have to practice.
And Mr. President, when you say you don't want the cure to be worse than the problem itself, so are you saying that if we kept these measures that we're doing now in place for a couple of months to...
Well, they will be in place. At some point, we're going to open up our country, and it's going to be fairly soon.
Weeks or months?
Because you seem to be... I'm not looking at months, I can tell you right now. We're going to be opening up our country, and we're going to be watching certain areas, and we're going to be practicing everything that Deborah's referring to right here. I mean, we're going to be watching this very closely, but you can't keep it closed for the next,
Yeah, you can.
Okay, this is going away.
No, it's not.
But we also have You know, you have tremendous responsibility. We have jobs. We have people get tremendous anxiety and depression, and you have suicides over things like this. When you have terrible economies, you have death. Probably and I mean, definitely would be in far greater numbers than the numbers that we're talking about with regard to the virus. So we have an obligation. We have a double obligation. We have a great country. There's no country like it in the world, and there's no economy like it in the world. I mean, we were just blazing. We were coming out with numbers that some numbers weren't even reported because it was already this had happened. They were meaningless. I got numbers about myself that were meaningless. Because by the time the numbers came in, you know, it's a whole different world with this. But I will tell you that we can do both things, John. We can do them both at the same time. I mean, that's okay. What we have gone through is a tremendous learning process. And we've also solved a lot of problems. But we've gone through a tremendous learning problem, you know, situation. Now, we're building hospitals in New York. We're building hospitals in California. We're building hospitals in the state of Washington. We've been in touch with the governors. Today I spoke with a man that I happen to like. I spoke with Phil in New Jersey, and we're going to be doing something very meaningful in New Jersey. We're doing something. I spoke with J.B. Pritzker, called me today. We're going to be helping them out in Illinois. We're doing a lot of things in Florida. We're doing a lot of things. And
a lot of things.
Between FEMA and
slow in the driveway.
The Army Corps of Engineers. And the Admiral and your group, in terms of the purchasing, that's what he does. He purchases. He's supposed to be great. I'll tell you in about 2 days. But he's going to do a fantastic job. So we have an incredibly talented group of people. But, yeah, we'll be doing two things and three things at one time. Well, at the same time, though, we're going to be watching very closely the hotspots. We're going to be taking care and watching very closely our senior citizens, especially those with a problem or an illness. We're going to be watching them very, very closely. And we can do that and have an open economy, have an open country. And we have to do that because that causes other problems. And maybe it causes much bigger problems than the problem we're talking about now. You understand. Jeff, please.
Mr. President, following up on that same topic and on your tweet, do you think that the cure so far has been worse than the problem?
I think the cure has been very tough. This has been a very tough. This was an operation.
God,
this was somebody
it,
going to a
no
doctor
cure.
And saying, you need an operation. And we've had an operation. We've learned a lot. And we fixed a lot of problems. One of the things we fixed, if you look at the obsolete system that this administration inherited, it was...
Oh, perfect. Jesus, the grievances. This is profound. Robert just wrote in from Australia, the USA becomes a no-fly country in one statement. From the idiot in charge. Yeah, open the country, force people back to work in 2 weeks. Watch every other country on the planet make going to and dealing with the USA illegal. It's not going to unfuck the market.
You go back 10 years, you know, you go back to 2009, but that wasn't like this, as it turned out, but they lost a lot of people. We were early. Jeff, because of the fact that we closed early, that was a big move. Please.
We didn't close early.
Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
You had said previously, I think from this podium, that the virus could still be with us through July or August. By suggesting now that we might, or that the government might change these standards or these recommendations.
Well, it's not change. We're doing things, yeah. This was a learning experience for the people of the country.
I'm just wondering if the time frame has changed for you. The July,
what's changed?
The July-August time frame of when you think the virus will be under control.
Well, I think we've learned a lot. I think that there's so much discipline now that we never had. Nobody ever said, don't shake hands. I did, actually, before I became a politician. Once I became a politician, then it's hard getting used to not doing it. Because, you know, you do it with everybody.
It's fucking toxic word salad. Angelo in the People's Republic of the Bronx says, at the risk of repeating myself, he's trying to kill us all. Denmark is locking down until April the 13th, at least. Steve on the West Coast says, Egonomics 101. These maniacs can't decide how many people to sacrifice in order that the U.S. economy doesn't get shut down. There you have it. The virus won't shut down either till it kills all the most vulnerable hosts. Steve in New York saying, please shut this off. I understand. Look, he just told us exactly what he's going to do. And that is, he's going to try to, he's going to kill until someone stops him killing. And the only legal remedy we have for that is the 25th Amendment. My God. But his vice president is a servile lick spittle and won't move to save the nation even as he watches this maniac commit homicide. Jesus Christ.
Anywhere in the world.
Listen, we got a little less than an hour left in the program. This is almost too much to bear. If you want to engage in some conversation, Sparky has sent a link to Brother Deacon Asa to create a little impromptu front porch. So you're welcome to go to headon.live. Hang on, Bob, says Sparky. Give us a couple of minutes. Then you can go to headon.live, and we'll get a little front porch going in a short period of time. Brother Deacon Ace is on it. Regarding, Brother Deacon Ace says, today I talked to a man that I like, Phil Murphy. Is Trump turning these press conferences into some sort of homoerotic reality TV show? And what the fuck was that about? We've seen tremendous numbers. The hell was that? What goddamn numbers is this baboon yammering about? And yammering.
Basically, is that we can do two things simultaneously, and we've had this incredible learning period. Plus, people have been in a period, and they won't be calling, oh, gee, because I've got many, many people that now come to me and say, we get it. We think we can really do it now and do it while we're open. So at some point, we'll be setting some guidelines. We'll be setting some datelines. And we'll be announcing them in the not-too-distant future.
Any of the doctors on your team endorsed easing the federal guidelines?
Not endorsed. We talked together, and I think they're okay with it, and I'm okay with it. But
then where's Fauci?
This could be a much bigger problem. This could create a much bigger problem than the problem that you start off with. Now, other nations are going to have to do what they're going to do, but they'll probably do something very similar. But in our case, much more so than anyone else, because of the magnitude of our economy, the tremendous size of what we've built and what we have and the jobs involved. You know, you have almost 160 million jobs in this country now, the most ever, by far the most ever. The number of jobs, almost 160 million. So we can't turn that off and think it's going to be wonderful. There'll be tremendous repercussions. There will be a tremendous death from that. Death. You know, you're talking about death. Probably more death from that than anything that we're talking about with respect to the virus.
If we continue with these strict guidelines, then if we ease them?
No, I think we're going to do them both. I think that's what I'm saying. I think we can do them both. Now, we haven't announced a date, but we're getting fairly close to coming up with a date, and it's a much shorter period of time than I've been hearing the news report. And I think everybody should be happy with that. But great knowledge was gained. Please.
I had two questions for you, Mr. President. My second one is on what your economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, said today. He was talking about this, and he said that there are going to have to be some difficult trade-offs if you do ease these guidelines, because he wants the economy to
You mean with the Democrats you're talking about?
No. Cure shouldn't be worse than the problem, and he was talking about reopening the businesses, getting the economy going back to going again. What are those difficult trade-offs?
Well, it is true. I mean, if he said, I didn't hear him say that, but if he said difficult trade-offs, sure, it's less convenient. Before you walk and you hop in the subway and you grab the handle and you go down to wherever you're going on Wall Street and you do all sorts of things and
you go down to wherever you're going on Wall Street.
Open the doors going into
a man walks in
or into
from
the
bar.
Exchanges,
he says, sign here.
Now you're not going to have to maybe think about doing that, or you're going to think about doing it a different way. No, there are many trade-offs. It's a different life, and maybe it'll remain that way, frankly, after the invisible scourge is gone. Maybe it's going to stay that way. Not a bad thing to stay that way, but no, there are trade-offs. There's no question about that. But I actually think it's going to – I think in the end we're going to end up being bigger, better, and stronger. We have learned a lot. Please.
We're seeing an increase of cases in Latin America, in the Middle East,
true.
In Latin some places America. In Asia. Are you considering a new round of travel ban?
No, we're not really. Something like that could happen, I guess, but we're not really. They thought we were going to have bans within the United States. We didn't do that. We're not going to have that. Hopefully that'll take care of itself. No, in Latin America, there's been an uptick. Yeah, please.
Mr. President, just quickly, a second question. What prompted you to say at the beginning of your comments that you're going to take care of the Asian Americans? Has there been something in particular that was...
Yeah, because it seems that there could be a little bit of nasty language toward the Asian Americans in our country, and I don't like that at all. These are incredible people. They love our country, and I'm not going to let it happen. So I just wanted to make that
point. Yeah, he's not going to let it happen, even
because
though it's already happening,
China,
and even though he started it.
China, and they are making statements to great American citizens that happen to be
Trumpo
of
Delenda
Asian
est.
Heritage, and I'm not going to let that happen. Please.
You say you want to reopen the country, but most schools across the country are closed. Two states now are closed for the rest of the school year. How are parents supposed to go back to work and educate their children?
Yeah,
right
the
now?
Governors of the various states will have a lot of leeway if we open.
Oh, for fuck's sake. How much stupid can we bear? I'm sorry. Like I said, we've got a little front porch going on now. And if you'd like to be part of it, go on over to headon.live. The link is up there. Click it. It'll take you right into the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves. And we can converse for the next hour or so. Hey, Sparky, you inspired this.
Hey!
You said, I'm
crazy. He's going to get everybody killed.
Yeah, he is. I don't know if he's going to get everybody killed. I think he wants to kill people. His sociopathy has merged into a psychopathy, and now he's in his active killing phase.
Just an announcement here. If you want to get in the group, refresh Head On Live, and there should be a link at the hopefully Ace has got it. He just said 10-4.
Yeah, he said it's up.
Oh, okay. Oh, man. Rachel Maddow is right.
How?
They should stop airing these damn press conferences.
Yeah, well... But by the same token, how would we know that he's gone? That he's going to go on a? How else would we know that he's going on a homicidal killing spree?
You got a point there.
By the way, it's interesting. Something I noticed earlier this morning: the Arcus map that everybody's been using, that has just been a series of blobs, red dots. They've changed it now to show individual, I guess they got better data, and now they show individual dots in various counties where there are cases. So now when you click on the United States, it looks like the United States has the measles. The greater New Orleans area is absolutely on, it looks like it's on fire. Mississippi is just a series of red dots. It's weird, something that I mentioned a couple of weeks ago. There are very, if you look at Alabama, there are very few cases south of Birmingham. But there are several red dots in North Alabama. And the biggest dot in North Alabama is Madison County, which is Huntsville, which has a lot of technology firms that are connected to China. You know, television, electronics manufacturers, things like that. And so, lo and behold, this morning, the little county where I was, my hometown, where I was between December and the end of January, it now has two confirmed cases.
Do you have a link for that?
It's if you just search arcgis.com, arcgis.com, COVID map, it'll be at the top of your search.
Okay,
and you know you've got the right one when it says at the top, coronavirus COVID-19 global cases by the Center for Systems Science and Engineering, CSSE, at Johns Hopkins University.
Okay, because I don't know if there's been a reported case in our county. All I know is they've started testing people.
Let's see. Let me scan over there. Let's see. There are two cases in Humboldt. There's one case in Mendocino County.
Go inland.
There's two cases in Butte County.
Go up a little bit.
Oh, wait a minute.
Tama County.
There we are. Shasta County has two.
Well, no, I'm in between the Butte and Shasta. Tama County.
Yeah, apparently nothing.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I'm looking at Redding, and there's Red Bluff, and nothing.
Okay. Because our paper only comes out on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. No paper on Sunday or Monday.
You know, it's interesting that this exercise in insanity is taking place at the same time that Boris Johnson has locked the UK down. Among other things, he said, if too many people get sick, and thanks to Robert in Australia for this, if too many people get sick, the NHS will collapse. People in the UK must stay home. People will only be allowed to leave their homes to shop, one form of exercise per day, alone, medical needs, traveling to work if you can't work from home. Otherwise, stay home. And this jackass is talking about telling people to go out and rub shoulders. That makes me think that him standing there practically on top of everybody on stage is an effort to undercut what we say we want people to be doing. Social distancing, not congregating in crowds. You know, the press corps out there in the audience, and they're doing social distancing. But the assholes on stage are in a clusterfuck. And it's so funny, every time Dr. Birx gets up to the podium, when she gets ready to leave, she starts trying to get as far away as she can, because she's the one who actually takes it seriously.
They got little signs on the chairs in there in the press conference room. I was looking at them earlier. Every other chair, I mean, if you're sitting here, there's signs on either chair on either side of you, so nobody can sit right next to you.
This is astonishing. And see, he was intimating some of this yesterday. I don't know if you saw it or not, Sparky. But he said, and by Tuesday, we're going to have big news. It's going to be amazing news Tuesday.
No, I don't think I caught that one. I was more interested in listening to my governor than him.
Well, your governor has far more intelligent input and better better information.
And everybody practices social distancing when he's on a news conference, just like Cuomo and every other governor that's got a brain. It's a look. I mean, the news conferences, they have a look. Everybody's standing far away from each other.
This is
I've seen New York, Illinois.
Yeah, his gang of creeps and thugs are the only ones not doing it. Well, I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen a press gaggle from the governor of Alabama or South Carolina yet. But I mean, even make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice has a good 10 feet between him and the nearest person. So,
yeah, they pop up on Utah once in a while. I see the Florida governor pops up there, and a few other governors.
Well, Ron Monkey up DeKlantis is a complete schmuck.
Well, I wouldn't even bother to watch his news conference.
Darlene says, seriously, Bob, Dr. Birx is a Trump bobblehead. You know, that's the funny thing about her, Darlene. She came in during 2013 during Obama's administration. That's who hired her. So, I mean, I'm kind of at a loss. But the thing is, these healthcare professionals, these epidemiologists and specialists and infectious disease types, are desperate to get the information out. And I think some of them are abasing themselves, however necessary, in hopes that they can by abasing themselves and flattering Trump, that somehow or another they can still do their job.
Do you think Dr. Fauci got axed because he did the facepalm the other day?
I don't know. He's 79 years old. I think, I don't think his facepalm did him any favors. And the thing is, the Stephen Millers and the and whoever that horrible person that married him is, and Kellyanne Conway, and Jared is proving to be one of the biggest problems. Because he keeps bringing back these conspiracy theories like blowing a hairdryer up your nose.
Oh, I was yesterday on John's show, the Blue Dot Family thing. Somebody said that, and I wasn't on the Discord channel. I was listening on YouTube, and I just typed in there real quick, no hair dryers, and John saw it. But I was going to say, boy, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard.
Well, it was promulgated by Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground.
I got a heat gun, I'll sell you. That'll work good.
And Stephen, New York just sent me photos of an absolutely empty subway train.
He's on it.
Yeah, empty rush hour subway. Let's see.
Did you ride the subway when you were in New York?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. So you know what it's like.
Yeah. It's a heck of an experience. I've spent more time on the D.C. Metro, but I've been in D.C. a lot more. Everybody uses it, and it's I love. I don't know what the hell that line was where
and, you know, you get on the subway and you go down to Wall Street.
Because, you know, that's how everybody, that's how all the hedge fund managers get to work every day. They don't take limos. They, you know, get on the subway and go to Wall Street. Jesus. Let's see. Hey, Steve from Georgia, Stan. What's going on, man?
Damn it.
You having technical difficulties, Sparky?
Yeah. I had to plug my headphones back in. And when I went into the house, I get them. I left them on for a long time, and I figured the battery was going to go dead.
I'm here, Bob. Sorry about that, brother. I was temporarily indisposed at the time when you beckoned to me.
I understand.
Steve, I think Steve's got the same kind of headphones I have now.
Christ, we even sound more alike now. We're going to confuse the hell out of people.
Oh, you sound great.
Oh, well, thanks, Bob.
I don't think we'll confuse the hell out of people.
I hope not. Everybody always says, calls me Sparky, and you know, I take it as a compliment. I don't worry about it. But anyhow, yeah, this fucker's evil incarnate, man. He's going to get us all killed. And he's putting the dollar over the safety of all of us. I'm convinced of it now. And if this presser didn't convince you, then I don't know what will. It's going to open up in 15 days. And this thing's spreading like wildfire. My little county, we've already had two. You might as well multiply that by 20 because you don't know.
Right.
You don't know.
Well, Christ, I mean, look, we're at 41,708 cases now. Remember, it was a week ago when we were number 8. We were above South Korea and behind France. And France right now is at 20,000 cases. We're double that. And by the time the 15 days are over, we may very well be at 82,000. We may well have surpassed China.
And from everything I've been gathering, I don't know how true these sources are. Things in New York are already chaotic. I don't know about that. I sent you a link. And I don't want to mention his name in case you're not a fan of his, Bob, but I don't know if you got a chance to check that out. But apparently he's holed up in New York in quarantine, and he has inside information, friends that are doctors, and it's really chilling. He does a podcast. If you want to mention his name, you can.
You're talking about Michael Moore.
Yeah. Up in quarantine, and he has inside information, friends that are – I don't know where that loop is coming from. It's not me.
Oh, Reggie just joined the call, but he had his radio going on background.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, Bob. What did you think of that? Do you think it's any validity to it, or
I don't know. I'm trying to read as many experts as I can. People who put their names out there. But I don't need to be told how bad this can be, because I have a generalized understanding of it.
Well, he made the claim the reason the National Guard was called into New York was to keep the crowds from getting chaotic trying to get into the hospital. Now, I don't know if it's gotten to that extent yet, and I don't want to be the one, you know, to cause any hysteria. I don't know. That's why I was reluctant to even put it out there. But I did want you to listen to it.
Well, I mean, because honestly, when Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice had his presser today, he said, now, we're going to shut everything down, but we need to understand what that's not. And that's not martial law. Because this state is in it's West Virginia, and education is not a priority in West Virginia. And so as a consequence, we got all manner of crazy shit. Spreading around here. But the scariest single piece of information that came out today was that they tested somebody in a nursing home, and it's a case of community spread. It's our first case of community spread, which means it's going to get going. And, you know, stupidity never helps this kind of thing. So he said, and now you got to understand that other states are doing things like shutting down. And there are states near next to West Virginia. And that may make some people want to come here from there. And we don't want that. I mean, Jesus Agnes and I Christ were sitting there watching stupid. It.
Jaws probably hit the floor, yeah.
With our brains running out of our ears. But in no way, shape, form, or fashion, which he said like 12 times, it's just like a verbal tick for him. In no way, shape, form, or fashion, are we going to have martial law?
Jeez. Well, Bob, let me add something. If anybody wants to join in on this, all you have to do is go to the headon.live page, and Aza has been kind enough to put up a link. It's right there at the top.
Sparky generated the link, sent it to Aza, and Aza put it up.
Okay. Yep. As easy as pie. But,
Hey Reggie, no videos. Turn off your video camera.
Yeah.
Technical difficulties. Yeah. We don't have enough bandwidth to carry video.
Well, yeah, he's muted, but his video's on. So you got to turn off the video and unmute your mic.
Yeah, to talk.
Well, I mean, I've been putting together the program all weekend long. You know, it's more in Monday and everything. But Jesus Christ, I wasn't ready for that. I mean, I got a story in here about how he's taking his cues from assholes like Jerry Falwell Jr. And Jerry Falwell Jr. is
who
telling
Trump is?
Yeah, Jerry Falwell Jr. is telling the students to come back and live in the dorms. Over the weekend, Trump was so freaked out, he was calling his business friends saying, should I lift it? Should we just... Because he doesn't care about anything but the goddamn stock market. And even today, I don't know if you caught it earlier, he said, you know, it wasn't that long ago, we had the best economy in the world, the best numbers, the stock exchange was the best it had ever been, the Dow was awesome. And it's driving him batshit that he's been erased. I mean, at this point in time, we've moved into territory that is, you know, weeks before the inauguration. The Dow closed today.
God knows. It's just there.
The Dow closed today at 18,591, down 3.04%. Now, bear in mind, the Dow was at 19,809 on January 19th, 2017.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, Scott.
I've got a live report from Ralph's in Hillcrest in San Diego, if you'd like it.
Oh, are you at the grocery store?
I'm standing in line to get in. This is the line to get in. I don't know what the line to get out is like because I'm still out, not in.
Scott, the Horn live reporter in the field. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, indeed. Basically, I today was the day that I had to come to the market, and I ran a quick errand to UPS and then got on another bus and headed here. I can't tell if the parking lot is full, but that's not, there's other stores in this complex. So that's not necessarily indicative of the crowd inside the Ralph's. I'll let you know that when I get inside. but I got to pick up about a dozen things, and then I'm headed home.
Good luck with toilet paper.
I got
toilet paper, but I need a roll of paper towels. So my first stop is going to be the paper products aisle. Hopefully the locusts have dispersed and there's stuff on the shelves. I keep pinching myself, you know, because I've lived through a lot of interesting things. Uh-oh.
You're busted. Exposure.
I feel like I'm in the Andromeda fucking strain, you know? Speaking of movies, I've got a TV viewing tip. If you've got Showtime, there's a movie called Unlocked. It's a 2017 movie. I had Showtime for free over the weekend and watched it. Great movie, and it's also on Amazon Prime for about $4 to rent it. It is quite good and timely in an interesting way. Unlocked. Check it out. It's awfully good.
Well, I just had a note from Jimmy in the Great Northwest. He said this hit home over the weekend. I lost a close childhood friend. He was a Boeing supervisor for 30 years. A good friend of mine. Wait till that idiotic so-called person has someone close to him die. Won't matter, Jimmy. When you are a sociopath, you are a toxic narcissist, malignant narcissist. When you're that, you are, for reasons that medical science does not understand, you are unable to feel normal, decent human emotions. David in South Carolina, Stan, says the Honda plant is shutting down here. This means that there are way more than 3 cases in this county. Japanese outfit in charge, though. Fairly sure that they test employees. Well, they could probably bring tests over from Japan. And it looks like the Olympics are getting shut down. I don't know why it took so long to do that, but, you know, they're finally doing it.
Do you think there'll be enough backlash that he will have to reconsider this open up America in 15 days bullshit that he's trying to propose?
We're at day 8. It's not 15 days, Steve. It's 7 days right from now.
Right. That's what I was trying to convey. Yeah.
It's not going to be 3 months. I can guarantee you it's not going to be 3 months.
But hopefully the outcry will be as such that he will have to reconsider. That's just...
Well, listen,
I don't know how to describe it.
Here's the reality. China has flattened out. China got burned up, but then they engaged in truly brutal containment measures. We've all seen the video, I presume. And what we have to remember is that thing probably, the problem with epidemiology and virology is you don't know you have a problem until after you already have a problem. So it is not unrealistic to look back as far as maybe the middle of November for this thing getting going in Wuhan. It gets hot, and then about the middle of December, the Chinese government finally opens up, says we've got a problem, and begins to make the genetic material available for worldwide research. That's a month. And they continued to burn all through December, all through January, and all through February. That's 3 months. And so it is not reasonable, and I've seen some numbers among other people, Kenda in Missouri and Lady B both sent me the same link to a website that shows the last day to act in order to avoid the massive spike. And there seems to be a certain amount of uniformity. If you want to flatten the curve, you have to act early, you have to be proactive and intensive about it, and you can't let up. And so, for instance, states like Washington that didn't know they had a problem, and New York that had, as they said, had spread that they didn't know was spreading, that's how they get that way. So you only, you know, you only start, only after you start looking at how to flatten the curve and taking measures to flatten it, do you begin to have any hope. Now, if we're in the middle of this, and he opens the floodgates again, it's just gonna spike, and it may very well make China look like a walk in the park. And there's one other thing that they're not taking into account, and that is that there will probably be a round two, just as there was with the dirty white pig farmer Kansas flu of 1918 and 1919. Since we're calling flus by where they come from now.
Could I break in with a little update?
Sure.
Tranquility Base here. I've been in the store for a couple of minutes. Not looking good in terms of stuff on the shelves. The tendency is to kind of freak out or panic or whatever, you know. But what's the point? I mean, it doesn't restock the shelves. It doesn't provide the goods. It's
so there's no paper products, right?
Very few.
And see, we need to understand something with all of this. People consume food. I mean, the whole rationale behind just-in-time delivery is that people consume at a given rate that can be predicted and adjusted and dealt with on a regular basis. Nobody's starving to death in the United States, except for the people who were starving to death in the United States before all of this happened.
Yeah.
So this is strictly a matter of hoarding. This is a matter of panicked primate behavior.
Exactly.
And
you know, getting shipments.
Well, yeah, but the shipments can't keep up with the hoarders.
Supply chain is all screwed up.
Well, and the thing is, they have special hours for seniors. I think 7:30 to 9 or something.
In the morning.
In the morning.
I don't get up that early.
Well, yeah, that's a time that doesn't especially work for me.
Yeah, that's about the time you're going to bed.
Plus, the thing is, they getting some cheese. I can always use cheese. Havarti sounds good.
Cheese. I simply adore cheese.
But the thing is, they've shortened the hours. It's like 8 a.m. to 8 or 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. under the premise that they're restocking the shelves during the downtime. Well, I see no ready evidence of that. You know,
well, they can't restock with shelves if they don't have the product.
Well, but I'm hearing reports that the food supply has never been in question. It's a matter of getting it to the stores, and the stores, behaving responsibly. There's plenty of demand. There's apparently plenty of supply, but it's just very, very strange. Like I said, I've never lived through anything quite like this, and I hope not ever to again. It's
well, you might find,
yeah,
your card has things like net way ahead of the curve, are great and many, we've got to be smart and everything. I'm going to tell you like this. President Trump is my friend. And then there's any reference.
Well,
one square is any reference to dolphins, possums, trout, or bird dogs.
I'm going to pop off here because I need to kind of really focus on what I'm doing. But I wanted to check in live and direct and let you know at least how it is at this one store.
Go focus.
There's plenty of cookies. I imagine when I get to the potato chip aisle, there'll be plenty of those. You know, but you can't live on that crap. I guess you could if you really, really had to, but I'd rather
blood
not.
Blood sugar level.
Listen, I don't know. Ralph's may not carry them.
Yeah.
But what you're looking for are Velveeta shreds and a couple of jars of diced, not chopped, not sliced, but diced pimentos.
Yeah.
And some Duke's or Best mayonnaise. And get you some crackers or some bread, whatever's available. And you go home and you make you some pimento cheese. It lasts.
Spread it on my arm and lick it off, because there ain't no goddamn bread.
Saltines, or my personal favorite, Pringles.
Pringles. Ooh, now there's a thought. A lot of Easter candy. Got plenty of that shit. I could probably buy a metric ton of Whopper malted milk balls. But again,
there's no hoarding market for those.
No, apparently not. You know, plenty of sunscreen. Coffee seems to be doing all right. I don't know.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, Steve.
I'll go ahead and go, but I just wanted to kind of give you a sense of, you know, the end times here in San Diego. So.
Yep. Scott, I'm going to shoot you a movie recommendation to your email, so keep an eye out for it.
Okay, well, y'all take care. Don't hoard. Buy responsibly and try to stay calm.
We're doing our best. Good luck out there among the apocryph.
Yes, it's getting weirder and weirder, man. I wish Hunter Thompson were here to give me wise words. Anyway, you all take care.
Later.
Bye, Scott.
See ya.
What do you got, Brother Steve?
You know what? I'm very lucky because I've not had any shortage of any paper or anything.
I'm on day three of not using toilet paper.
I mean, we just have. There's plenty of it. I've had no problem buying it.
Where are you at, Steve? You still in the Canton area, or?
No. That's my dad and my stepmom.
Okay.
I live in New York.
I knew that, but I didn't know where you were at physically right now.
No.
If you started drinking some liquid, you wouldn't be so constipated. Then you could start using some toilet paper.
Who?
Me?
The comment, I think it was Sparky saying he hadn't used any toilet paper in 3 days. I said if he drinks some liquid,
yeah, but I'm using a shower and a bar of fucking soap.
I'm just giving you shit, Sparky. Jesus.
Did you see
he's out of toilet paper? He's out of
showers a day.
He's out of toilet paper,
I'm
Roger.
Not
he doesn't
out
need
of
to
toilet
be...
paper. I'm not out of toilet paper. I'm saving it for my wife. She needs it worse than I do.
Bob, did you see the thing I sent you from my partner's sister?
Yeah. That was terrifying.
Yeah. I had signal problems at my office, so I don't know if you read it, but I just wanted to.
Well, no, I just read it when you sent it earlier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're not handling this very well in Brazil.
I don't know what I heard Steve say something about Michael Moore, but along those lines. Do you want me to say it, or did you read it over the air?
Go ahead and share it with people.
Oh, okay. My partner he's from Brazil, and his sister is a nurse in Rio at actually one of the better hospitals in the entire country. And they're so overwhelmed, and people aren't taking it seriously. So and they don't have enough ventilators and all that and medication. So they've made the decision has been made to basically, if you're over 60, you're not getting medication. You're not getting treatment. They're just basically going to let you die.
God damn, that's cold-blooded.
But it's
it's not cold-blooded. That's all they've got. They don't have anything else.
I mean, the Italians already had to face those kinds of choices. I saw a photo the other day from Bergamo of army, what would otherwise be like, you know, troop carrier trucks, you know, with the canvas tops and the frames, you know what I mean? And they were lined up end to end through the city, and they were there to carry bodies away to the crematoria.
Because, but you've also got to realize that Brazil is a country that has it as a national policy under this present jerk president they have to annihilate all the indigenous populations, I mean, of the jungle, the Amazon jungle. They're going in and intentionally killing off the Aboriginal people who in a previous administration were considered to be thou shalt not contact tribes because they haven't been very, very, very minimal contact. But this administration's going in and wiping them out.
But that's got nothing to do with the health care. And in fact, to be honest with you,
no, what I'm saying is it's a culture in Brazil that allows the annihilation of people for whatever reason.
I don't think that's what's going on here. I think what it part of, I mean, in fact, I'll bet that the indigenous people are, they're probably so isolated. They're still isolated.
You missed my point.
No, I didn't miss your point. I didn't miss your point. I didn't miss your point. And I disagree with you. I don't agree with you.
In Brazil.
I don't agree with you. That's what I'm saying.
I've spent time in Brazil.
Great. Well, great. My partner was born there.
All right. But this is a country that allows their government to annihilate people. So you annihilate people over 60. You know, you annihilate other people.
That's absurd. I'm sorry to say. That's not what it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with you don't have the resources. You don't. That's going to happen here. It's going to happen here.
To make bad matters worse, one of the things we do know is that the white supremacists and neo-Nazis are out there telling their members to spread bodily fluids and personal interactions onto police officers and Jews.
You know what else they're doing, Bob? They're spitting on elevator buttons.
Lovely.
Licking subway poles. Yeah, I've seen YouTube videos of all this horrific shit.
But the Nazis are claiming that, of course, the Jews created the coronavirus so that they could sell vaccines.
Well, you know, those Chinese Jews are a pretty sizable population, everybody, you know?
Well, I'm sure there's some good people there, too, Bob.
Very, very good. Yeah,
but Trump just calls them Asians now. Somebody corrected him. Come out the first thing in his news conference. He talked about how they're working with the Asians. He didn't say South Korea, China, whatever. He just said the Asians.
Because he doesn't know the difference. He thinks everyone is in Asia is Chinese. He doesn't know that there's a difference. And I have to say one thing. I thought that press conference was terrifying.
Yeah, but the point is somebody told him to change his verbiage.
It was probably Walter Sobchak.
It was Stephen Miller. Because he can just say Asians, and that way the Chinese can be included without him having to say the Chinese. He wants to keep the hatred ramped up against China.
Well, it keeps the heat off of him.
But like I said earlier, Gabriel Sherman over at Vanity Fair is reporting that Jared Kushner is the fly in the ointment here because he's been the one who has been overruling and contradicting Dr. Fauci because Jared has been telling him about experimental treatments that he's heard about from entrepreneurs in Silicon Valley. One Republican who's been briefed told Gabriel Sherman at Vanity Fair, Jared's bringing conspiracy theories to Trump about potential treatments. Trump is like an 11-year-old boy waiting for the fairy godmother to bring him a magic pill. And it's getting bad enough that even Mike Pencilneck Geek has complained to Corona Caligula about Kushner meddling with the coronavirus task force. And by the way, we missed, I guess by shutting him down when we did, we missed something significant. Philip Rucker tweeted not long back, Trump warns of massive depression, mass suicides, tremendous death if Americans continue to social distance and the restaurants stay closed and so forth. Now, here's the question. What do you do as a nation when the head of state becomes an active threat to the continued survival of the nation?
You go to sleep until November 3rd and hope it changes.
Well, there are more now. We've had a lot of people here, like I said, West Virginia, talking crazy shit. Like, you know, we're going to have martial law, and of course, they always spell it MARSHALL. Never mind. But it is far more.
Hey, newsflash: Joe Biden came out of his hole today. 6 more weeks of isolation.
Oh, well, I want that man to survive.
Sorry, his shadow.
I want that man to survive. I badly want him to survive. I want Bernie to survive.
Bob.
And they're both so goddamned old that being in public is a practical death sentence for them with this disease. Especially Bernie, because being post-myocardial infarction, he is particularly prone to something that this disease causes, and that is an infection of the heart called myocarditis. He can't withstand it.
Do you think he cares?
Yeah, I think he cares. I think he badly wants to survive.
Yeah, but he badly wants to get out there and share information, too. He's been doing a live... He did a live deal last night with AOC and Ilhan Omar and
Rashida Tlaib.
Rashida Tlaib.
Yeah,
so
but
he's out there all the time.
He does no one any good by dying, and he's not getting out there. He's staying in Vermont. There was a whole lot of people all over social media giving him shit for blowing off the
press
Senate vote.
Won't cover it. Well, off the Senate vote.
Yeah, and giving him shit, and I said, you know, fuck that. The numbers were going to be what the numbers were. If it was going to be a one vote margin, I'm sure he would have been there. But as it is, I need him to be in Vermont, and I need Joe to be in Delaware, and I need them to be practicing social distancing. On a Zen master level, because they have got to survive. They've got to make it to November. And I mean, it was so scurrilous and sleazy. A bunch of I guess pro Bernie people getting all over social media all weekend. Joe Biden is dead. It's filthy. And then there were a bunch of Biden fans out there giving Bernie shit for missing the vote, and you know, fuck them both. I don't mean Bernie and Biden. I mean the people who do that kind of sleazy shit, because that means our eye is not on the ball. Our eyes are not on the prize.
And the other side of it is that vote was nothing but a procedural vote of whether to go ahead with another 30 hours of discussion before they vote on the final bill.
Right, but as Joe Manchin pointed out, Roger, once you get past that procedural vote, then there's, yeah, sure, we do it again, but once you get past that procedural vote and you get 60 votes, then it only takes 51 to raid the Treasury and give $750 billion, $1 trillion to Wall Street and the cruise lines and the airlines with no strings attached.
All right, but I'm not disagreeing with you at all, Bob. What I'm saying about Bernie missing the vote, it made no difference as to the bill because they weren't going to get the 60 votes to proceed with the corrupt bill that was being presented.
Right, so it didn't matter if Bernie was there.
Right, I agree. That was my point about it was only a procedural vote. It wasn't a vote on the bill. Yes, all that stuff about how it works, but his being there or not being there had absolutely no bearing on the result of what the Senate voted on.
Right, none.
Because he wouldn't have voted as part of the 60 vote that was necessary. He would have voted against it, and as long as there weren't 60 votes for it, I mean, if it's 59-41, it doesn't make any difference whether it was 20 and 80. It did not get the 60 votes, so he was fine.
Yeah, exactly. And so
speaks the right.
And so the Biden people, the Biden people who were giving him shit on social media were wrong, and the Bernie people who were claiming that Biden's dead were equally wrong. And that kind of stuff.
No disagreement.
On top of everything else we're facing with the disease, the virus, the upheaval. When you got people out there on both sides doing that kind of shit, it's like, do you really understand how desperate these times are? And, you know, for all intents and purposes, I don't know how Bernie could make up any ground, but he's doing what he said he was going to do. He was going to keep on. He was going to keep on talking about his issues to try to make sure that they had prominence inside the larger discussion of the Democratic Party. Okay.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
I actually think Bernie is doing exactly what we need him to do. And once Biden gets out there and starts acting like the presumptive nominee, and he will, I'm convinced he will, that we need to make everyone understand that we are on the right side here. We have the right ideas. They don't. Because I'll tell you what, that press conference was terrifying to me. Because these people, you look, testing is that should be the first thing. That's not the last thing we do. The point is you need to identify where the clusters are. And so that tells you where treatment needs to focus. And it also tells you where does the shelter in home and where do the quarantines need to focus. That's what that tells you.
Yeah. And that town in Italy already proved that point.
Absolutely.
They tested everybody in that town. They isolated the people with the virus.
I mean, did you see Taiwan?
They've had zero new cases.
Yeah. Did you see Taiwan? Taiwan is 100 miles from China. They've had less than 1,000 infections and 2 deaths.
Yeah. And they did very specific things.
That
I guess the United States is fucking well incapable of doing.
Hey, Bob, let me ask you something. Tell me what you think of this. And I want to hear Sparky. I want to hear Steve. I want to hear Roger. I want to hear your take on this. Something occurred to me as I'm listening to this press conference tonight, to the extent that I could listen. I'm sorry, Bob. I just couldn't listen
entire thing. Okay.
The only one who seemed to be talking about this 15-day thing was Trump. And you know what began to occur to me? See, I've honed my inner Bob. My inner Bob has developed into a pretty good facsimile of the actual Bob. And something occurred to me that might be the trigger for the 25th Amendment if he in fact does that. What do you think of that?
Well,
Because I'll tell you something here. I've been surprised. There have been some people here who have stepped up. And look, as much as I don't like Mike Pence, I don't think Pence has been all that bad in this.
No, I mean, maybe he learned something from killing off people back when he was the governor of Indiana. Maybe he learned the price of not moving proactively. And yeah,
this
just,
isn't
and,
killing
and
the gays.
And by the way, true enough. By the way, the numbers on Taiwan: confirmed cases 195, 2 deaths, 28 recovered, 165 active cases, and they are 100 miles from Fujian Province, China, where there are 313 confirmed cases, 295 recovered, and 1 death. Now,
isn't that amazing? It's
one,
amazing.
One province down in Guangzhou, 1,415 cases and 8 deaths. One province north in Zhejiang, 1,238 and 1 death. But yeah,
I wonder what our old buddy Horse is doing.
Well, hopefully he'll hear the podcast and he'll respond. I'll reach out and see what his thoughts are on this. By way of responding to your musings of your inner Bob there, Steve, I always operate on the presumption that every human being has a breaking point. You know, the diehard Nazis in World War II rode along with Hitler, and then finally a group of them decided to put a fucking briefcase bomb under the desk because they had reached their breaking point. That's not what I'm talking about here. But even Mike Pence has a breaking point. And if this thing,
you've seen it like I have that.
Yeah, if this thing gets out of hand, but again, all those nights that we spent parsing and combing through Section 4 of the 25th Amendment, it's complicated enough. But the bottom line is that you've got to have a willing vice president and half of the members of the cabinet. So if the 25th,
don't you get that sense?
So
here?
If the
20, I get that sense here.
If the 25th Amendment is to be the remedy, then you've got to go through the list of cabinet members, and you've got to find one more than 50% to sign that goddamn letter. Now I don't have it immediately to hand, but Mike Esper, Secretary of Defense, is he going to sign? How about Attorney General Pepe the Frog?
No.
Well, he was standing right behind him today.
How about Education Secretary for Jesus, Betsy DeVos?
No.
How about Ben Carson?
Maybe.
Yeah, see, so far the best we've got, Steve, is a maybe.
Oh, I think the DOD, the guy Secretary of Defense, I think he would. I think Pence would.
Well, if Pence steps out and says we've got to do something, and remember, all this has to be done on the QT, because Stephen Miller and Jared have their little minions everywhere. So the other thing, not by virtue of any meanness or criminality or illegality, but simply by operation of natural forces. I mean, do we have any confidence that this administration would tell us if he had the disease? Is part of the reason that he's so excited about some of these supposed remedies that they've now created runs on because he's being treated with them? Now, I realize that's just rank speculation. But how do you not engage in that speculation? Well, somebody lightsabered me. So, note coming in from Angelo in the People's Republic of the Bronx. Think about this. If this country was at war and Trump had his way, he would surrender after a week of fighting because, according to him and the Fox News dummy he heard it from, the cure would be worse than the disease. And the Republicans, led by McConnell, would be in charge of negotiating the surrender terms, which they would give benefit to the enemy as long as they got their cut. That is precisely what it is, Angelo. Exactly what it is. And he's getting ready to surrender to a virus and let the virus kill as many as it wants. As many. Now, a virus can't have desires, but he's willing to surrender to the virus and let the virus kill as many as it is able. Hey, our buddy Jimmy from New Zealand's in the chat room. He says 44 new cases here in New Zealand, 145 cases altogether, no deaths. I hope it stays, I hope the numbers stay low, and you've got a, you know, Jimmy, at least you've got a reasonable shot because you've got responsible leadership. We, on the other hand, have a clown car with the wheels wobbling and about to fall off. So I guess we'll call it an end. And thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thanks for jumping in, everybody, to meet Charlene's More In Monday challenge. Thank you, Charlene, for making that challenge. That's tremendously helpful. So that means thanks to Ralphs and come on. There we go. Sailor Chick, thank you. Thank you to Angelo and thank you to Barbara. Thank you all very kindly. Oh, we frontiered up. Sorry about that. That's because the internet crashed all the way down. So if you want to hear the rest of the conversation, I'll check out the podcast. That's kind of hard for me to tell you, though. Regardless, thanks all of you who keep the program going. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room, and thanks to Sparky in the old holler tree where we do the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, head on .live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.